please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hey, everybody, welcome into the... Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome. I almost did this as if we were coming back. But this is the top of the show, episode 35V. V because I love you. L-O-U-V-E. No, Mickey Louvre.
Not yet.
Mickey Louvre.
That's next week.
T-U-V-W-X-Y. No, several weeks.
A few weeks away.
Yeah. Speaking of weeks, last week, I don't know when the episode drops. I had the pleasure of doing the Joe Quazala's Rock Hall Draft episode.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll get Joe on here when they announce who's on the ballot. We always have Joe on here. We somehow do the draft there. Then we have Joe on here to break it all down.
Yeah.
And so we'll do that. I had first pick.
Oh, boy.
I had first pick. And I had two names I was choosing between. Because you get less points if you pick somebody who has been on a ballot before.
Right.
But I still went that direction. I went with Cyndi Lauper because I think it is her year.
It's a lock, yeah.
And then my second pick was Phil Collins, who would have been my first pick, but I did not want somebody else to take Cyndi out from under me. Then I went with Maiden, who again is already been on the ballot,
yeah.
But I think it's going to be their year as well.
Mm.
And then I went with the replacements.
Oh.
A little off the Jimmy Pardo track, but I thought that niche of music has not been covered in a while.
Interesting.
And then I was going to, full disclosure, I was going to, in the round five, I was going to pick, because they seem to be going more for the Jimmy Pardo classic rock bands, because they realize that's who goes to the Rock Hall, that's mm-hmm. who goes to the concerts,
yeah.
That's who goes to the presentation.
Yep.
And then River Butcher chose Boston, took Boston out from under me.
Oh, no.
And I was like, well, I'm going to take Boston in the fifth row because nobody else is going to think of Boston. And then he took Boston.
I might have done that before the replacements, honestly.
Well, I regret not doing it. And so then I went with, and I don't, this is more of a dream. I went with Styx. They were my backup classic rock band because I did see online amongst the critics and everything, there is chatter about that. And then there's the wild card. For my wild card, I picked Selena. Mm. And then for musical influence, that's usually a band or a producer or a manager. But with the band, it's usually a band that will not get in on a ballot, but they know, like Judas Priest.
Right.
Never got in a ballot. It makes no fucking difference, by the way.
Yeah.
It's some weird thing in their own heads of, well, for some reason, Judas Priest can't get enough votes, so we'll just put him in. I think they're going to do that with Jethro Tull at some point. Mm. So I've got my prog rock cover with Styx and Jethro Tull. So we'll see how I do. I won last year because I... You know, I picked classic rock bands.
Yeah.
Again, the Rock Hall is finally figuring out, hey, maybe we've been too snooty in the past, and maybe we should put in people that the general public listens to on the radio.
Also, that's who's left. They've already inducted all of the big, obvious ones. Yeah. And so it's what else is there to do except that?
What is the is it 25 years of a career, or what is the...
I believe it's 25 years since your first piece of music was released.
So we're getting to 90s.
Yeah, we're there.
Oh yeah, Alanis Morissette is this is her third year, I think, or second year on the ballot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah, she's so what would that be? That's that was 96 or 95.
Her first album
95.
I wanted to say 94, but now I suddenly don't know.
Well, is it America? She was in Canada.
She had
that.
Other releases had, before that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Did she have other releases before? Was she just on that TV show?
No, she put out like pop music.
That's right.
Like teeny bopper, like Debbie Gibson type stuff before Jagged Little Pill.
So Jagged Little Pill came out though in what? I think you're right. Late 94, October of 94,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that's what I want to say, but it might have been 95.
Remember, I bought the cassette at a Best Buy in Madison, Wisconsin. So you tell me where I was then.
95, June 13th, 1995.
Oh, all right. So
it's exactly 30 years. So she's definitely eligible.
Yeah, she was eligible last year. Then there was a little brouhaha that she was supposed to be part of the celebration, you know, honoring somebody, like, and you're going to sing, and you're going to sing, you know, Dolly Parton. And then she quit the day before the show and said she was being mistreated.
Oh.
Now, I don't know what that means.
Boy.
Nobody knows what it means. So does that mean now they won't vote for her because they're mad at her?
Yeah.
It's Dolly.
Dolly. Protect her at all costs, Garen. I beg of you to protect her at all costs.
Famously prickly Dolly Parton. Wouldn't she be eligible for the last 5 years, though, if that came out in 95?
Well, yeah. Her first album was 91, but that was Canada. So
that's, not, see, I don't think
they don't do international.
I mean, it was available here, I assume.
Right? It says it was released only in Canada.
Oh, really? That's so weird. I mean,
so it would come here as an import then.
Yeah, before streaming. I guess that makes sense.
So 95 would be, it's 30 years ago. So yeah, 5 years ago she would have been. So maybe she was not, she's been eligible, but she's only been on the ballot once.
I'm a little surprised, honestly. She seems like a no-brainer, but
doesn't it? But
not no-brainer.
I think it's a no-brainer, but not a first ballot.
Yeah, sure. It's just that obviously that one album was huge, but she did have two or three other very successful albums and was very influential. I mean, I think if you talk to people, like I know a lot of like the Chapel Roan type artists are now like, hey, that's one of my heroes, and Olivia Rodrigo, like they love her because she was a woman who rocked and but had great vocals, and so I think she had a pretty big influence. But she also was in the middle of that huge shift towards Lilith Fair, like women being viable as mainstream.
I think that she should be.
Yeah,
there are some that others, you know, Kristen and River and Joey and Joe, they all pick these bands that, you know, they're all much younger than me.
Right.
So they're bands that had an impact on their life.
Right.
But they will never get into the Rock Hall. Like
Blind Melon.
Yeah. It's not that, but that's not a bad example.
Candlebox.
They will say, you know, they did this, other bands that it's like, okay, you believe that,
yeah.
But it ain't going to happen. Then I'll say Foreigner, ha dummy. That's what usually happens, and then Foreigner gets in, and
the people voting and the people who are in like the body of whatever, they're closer to you than them.
Now they are.
Yeah.
In fairness to them, in their ways that they're still kind of drafting in the way that they were voting in the Rock Hall, and it's clearly opened up.
Yeah,
and it's still fun. We did it on Zoom because of the fires.
Yeah,
and it was good. It was fun. I enjoyed myself.
You mentioned prog rock earlier.
I did.
You know the band Dream Theater?
I love it. Their first album was on, I sold it when I worked at MCA Records, and I said, these guys are going to be huge. And then they changed from it being a rock band into a prog rock band, and they became huge in a different way.
Yeah.
So your thoughts?
Well, I randomly stumbled on a video. I don't know why the YouTube algorithm has decided that I'm really into drummers, but like I get all these videos about drummers. I must have clicked something. Mike Portnoy is in this video, and it's a series of videos that I've seen other ones, and so maybe that's why it fed it to me. The premise of these videos is
you saw what video I saw? Yeah.
Oh, did you see this where they like they'll play a track that the person doesn't know without the drum part, and then they play the drum.
Oh no, I didn't see that.
Okay, so. They play, and it's mind-blowing that this guy didn't know who this was, he didn't know the song. I can't believe he didn't know either of these things. They played Shake It Off by Taylor Swift, and he had never heard it before somehow. And so he starts doing this crazy-ass prog, you know, weird time signature drum pattern to Shake It Off. And it's just fun to see because then they play him the real thing and he's like, oh yeah, okay. Oh, and then and of course the reveal of when they tell him what it is, he's like, oh my God, my daughter's going to make fun of me. Like this is like the biggest artist in the world. I of course I don't know who it is. But it was, I don't know. I find those things kind of interesting.
I enjoyed that one. And I enjoyed him admitting he didn't know who it was.
Yeah. Being self-deprecating about it. Yeah.
I like that guy. I met Mike Portnoy when he came into the MCA office, the whole band came in.
Wow.
And their first album was metal.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, these guys are. And then, you know, it was kind of, you know, that was 89. And then music shifted where that kind of metal wasn't happening. So they went, you know what? The Sunset Strip vibe isn't happening. Let's go.
Yeah.
Probably what they really wanted to be doing.
Well, he still calls it prog metal. Like that.
No, they are. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they were more. That first album was just metal.
Right.
And my guess is that management told them, stop with the prog shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And lean into the metal because that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen because it shifted. And then they went, let's go back to being prog metal. That's my guess.
Sure. And there is an audience for that, even though it's not as big as if you're, you know, Motley Crue, but it's still, you can make a living playing to that audience.
And there was talk that Mike Portnoy was going to join some band that needed a drummer. I forget who it was.
He's an impressive drummer. Like, I think anybody who plays that kind of music has to be really good,
right?
Because it's complicated.
Yeah.
It's not Shake It Off.
No.
It's literally just like...
You could do, yeah. I was talking to my cousin today, and my cousin's favorite band of all time is Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking just in general about music. And I said, you know what? The truth is, I've got Spectrum on my Sirius XM. Mm-hmm. And man, do they want me to like Maggie Rogers. They really want me to like Maggie Rogers. And Mick G, they really want me to like that fella as well.
Yeah.
Those are the two that they play.
The director?
No, not Mick G. What's the guy's name? Mick.
No, that is.
Mick. It is Mick G.
It's the guy that was, he was on SNL a few months ago.
Yeah, right.
It's spelled differently. It's not MCG.
It's the same, but it's the same. MKG or like.
Yeah, it looks like it's. Yeah, I think it looks like MKG, but it's. Or I forget how he spells it, but.
MKGEE?
Yeah,
that's yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they play those two, and also Daniel Radcliffe and the Night Sweats. They play those three artists a ton, and I get it. You're pushing them. And Maggie Rogers is really good, by the way.
What is Spectrum? I don't know what that channel is.
The premise is they play rock from all eras.
Oh, okay.
But if you listen to it, they play 80% new and 20% old. So to me, the balance is not there for what I want.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird because there's not that much rock now. You would think they'd play more old stuff because there's a lot more.
Which is why you get Maggie Rogers, Mick G, and Daniel Radcliffe. Oh, and you Grace Potter.
Right.
You know, it's all the ones that have just a little bit of an up-tempo.
It sounds like K-Rock a little bit because, although K-Rock doesn't go back, but like, I feel like I don't listen to K-Rock much, but whenever I do, I feel like it's 80% the same stuff they were playing in the 90s when I used to listen to it every day, and then 20% those things, the new stuff.
But they're not playing, K-Rock's not playing, they're playing more Linkin Park and, Slipknot.
Yeah, yeah, which is weird, but also not current, but that was their wheelhouse. They sort of morphed into, like, from playing, like, the Smiths to, like, No Doubt and Sublime and Chili Peppers, and then they were just like, when rap rock happened, they were just like, I guess this is our,
we're all in on this.
This is us, yeah.
K-Rock, by the way, is since Kevin and Bean and everybody is left over there, it's unlistenable.
I believe it.
But anyway, so I was talking to him about it, and I said, you know, at the end of the day, it turns out that Dawes and Taylor Swift are the only two current artists that I actually enjoy, and otherwise I'm a classic rock guy. That's who I am.
Yeah.
And I like, and I kept on saying, and he goes, yeah, I like Dawes. They play them on XRT here in Chicago. He goes, but you're kidding about Taylor Swift, right? He goes, you're a classic rock guy. And I go, no, she's phenomenal. He's like, I guess I'm the only guy that doesn't get it. You know what? All right, I'm going to give it a shot. So,
oh, interesting.
He's going to, I think I was the one that he needed a little push over.
Yeah.
He knows I'm a classic rock guy, and
I never know what to, I don't know if this has happened. I know one, well, I'll just say it. I'll call him out publicly. Ted Sullivan, he wants to engage me in an argument about Taylor Swift, and I won't have it.
What does he want to argue about?
He doesn't like her. But the thing is, if he said to me, what should I listen to understand it? That's different than him just being like, she fucking sucks.
But she doesn't fucking suck.
But he emailed me.
He likes music that sucks. How about that?
Well, what's funny is he loves the Beatles, I believe. And the Beatles is basic. That's what Taylor Swift is. She's the Beatles. Like, it's just pop music that then branched out and became more interesting and varied over time. But he was saying that, I was in a cab and Shake It Off came on. Wow, it's fucking horrible. It's the Pepsi of music.
I'm great. Like, I like Pepsi.
But here's the thing. If he did ever say to me, and now he's going to hear this and he's going to email me about it, so I realize what I'm doing as I'm doing it. But if he ever said, okay, well, what should I listen to, Hotshot? Like, prove that she's good by giving me a suggestion. I don't really know what to tell a guy like that. There's so many different ways you could slice that. Like, in my head, I'm like, I don't know, do you send them to folklore, which is a lot of like more snooty people like, even though they're maybe not typical Taylor Swift fans. Like, they don't really like pop music, but that's more folk and a little more indie sounding. Or do you just say, well, here's the best example, like you make a playlist of, here's the best example of like the best stuff she's done across multiple genres.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I think that she, even though you can download whatever you want to, you can make your own playlist, whatever you want to,
yeah.
A Taylor Swift, Taylor's version, greatest hits would be very helpful in this case. And I also wouldn't mind it.
But a lot of people don't like the, like for example, Shake It Off. And there's songs like We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. A lot of people hate that. Taylor Swift fans hate that song.
But to me, it breaks it up.
Yeah, I get it.
I like both sounds. I like
me
both
too.
Worlds.
Me too. That obviously, I like all of it. I'm not. I'm. I guess I'm the wrong person to ask.
Breaks it up.
Garen, what are your thoughts? You're a Taylor Swiftie.
Garen, while you do that, I'm going to do a little maintenance. Go ahead.
It is a very difficult thing because you have to consider what their baseline,
what their taste
might
is.
Be.
Yeah, what they're interested in.
You can't go with a pop. I mean, 1989 is probably the best gateway.
I think so.
This first time she starts. Dabbling in more other
right, but if you
genres.
Don't like, if you just don't like pop of that era or whatever, then it's probably going to not be your thing.
Yeah,
but then maybe I don't know if you like more country, but with some pop, then Red is a good way to go.
Maybe Evermore.
I love Evermore, man. I think I like it. People will go crazy. I think I like it better than Folklore, honestly.
Torture Poets is my favorite of hers.
Garen,
album.
That's a ridiculous statement.
It is.
Garen, 100%. Talk, we're having a fucking serious conversation.
100%.
You're gonna say the new ones are best?
Yep.
That's recent bias.
Recency bias?
What?
Recency bias?
Yeah, recency
sit down. You're not even on mic. You're decided to become the janitor for a few minutes.
The dust is getting, driving me nuts.
Okay.
I have not stopped listening to that album since it came out.
Well, stop listening to it. It's not as good as you think it is.
Oh, I love it.
You didn't go deep enough with it, Jimmy.
I listened to it enough. I like the album, but I don't talk like a fucking madman.
I can't really disagree. It's really good.
It gets shit.
You guys are talking like fucking idiots.
it's terrific.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even say it's her best. You guys are so fucking dumb. All right, I'm back.
She likes stuff that I don't like. That's the
what
weird
she
thing.
Like?
She likes False God, which I that's I don't like it, and she clearly loves it.
She's
like you can tell. She played it on SNL. Saxophone's ridiculous. The whole song is whatever, but it's odd that like the stuff that she I think she, you know in the Eras Tour she was playing the only song from Speak Now was Enchanted. And someone asked her, and she was like, yeah, that's my favorite song. I'm like, that's your favorite song on Speak Now? Like, Speak Now has, like, 10 amazing songs. And I do like it, but it's like, that cannot be your favorite.
It's hers.
Yeah.
We've all got our babies.
It's about that fucking dork from Oak City. What's it called? Owl City?
Is it really?
Yeah, supposedly.
I guess I didn't know that.
That's the song where it's just like she saw a guy at a party and nothing happened, and she goes home, and she's like, oh, what if, it's all a fantasy of, like, what if we had connected?
I like that song.
Yeah, I do too. But
if my Tay-Tay says it's her favorite, I like it.
It's not better than mine.
Tomato,
your
tomato.
Favorite?
I think mine is like a masterpiece to me. Like it's a perfect song.
All right, we promised the listener we're gonna do this. All because you got to get mad at it. My point was, I told my cousin to listen. He's going to give her a shot.
Okay, cool. I think there's something. If you did what you're saying, like make a playlist of just the hits, I think there's something for everybody on that. You might not like every single one, but you're going to find some things.
I think, honest to God, if you go to Apple Music and you download the
Essentials,
but it's not the Essentials. It's the set list from her Eras Tour.
Oh yeah.
If you just download that and listen.
Yeah.
You're in good shape.
Probably.
That's a nice. That's a close greatest hits. Throw something in off this new average album of hers, and then you'll be good to go.
I think if we're talking Ted, Folklore, Evermore.
It seems.
I think those are the only two to give him. Yes,
because that's when she really starts.
Right.
Storytelling.
But also,
and
fuck Ted. Why do you? Who gives a fuck what Ted listens to?
He doesn't. He's not asking for this. This is
you
all
know what I want. I want him to come over here and take his fucking red phone, and we're done with Ted.
I mean, he's going to love the attention, that's for sure. But I don't know that he's going to love you.
He'll do another push up. He's got a good upper body.
Yeah.
He does. I don't know how many push ups he does a day, but I got to imagine a pull up is involved as well.
Probably you got to work all the major muscles.
I can't do a pull-up. I can't do, they say for your spine, a dead hang is good, but I can't do that because of my labrum. I can't do a dead hang.
What about a one-arm dead hang?
Who am I, Rocky?
You're like a chimpanzee.
I couldn't do that. I don't have that upper body. I'm not Hollywood's ambassador. hey, let me ask you a question. Are you, so I go to the dentist, as you know. I've had many root canal in the past 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had a cleaning. And so the hygienist recommended that I get a they asked me what kind of toothbrush I use, and I said I use a Quip. And they said, well, I recommend you get this other one. It's a smart toothbrush. It lets you know if you're brushing too hard, too soft, sort of thing.
Okay.
And so I bought it because my teeth are – clearly something's going on with – so I bought it. I spent the money. It's stupid money for a fucking toothbrush. And
can you say the brand?
What's the
– Oral-B?
Yeah, it's Oral-B.
Okay.
And by the way, it's great.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to say. And they are not a sponsor. They are currently not a sponsor. I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
I still have my Quip. The Quip's better.
Oh.
The Quip, you can go to Target or go to Quip.com and use Pardo. I think you can maybe still use. Again, this is not a commercial.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that if I'm A, being the Quip and this really unnecessarily expensive toothbrush, everything that they were able to, the Quip where, you know, it's the size of a real toothbrush. You're not holding a flashlight in your hand, basically. Mm. You're able, somehow the bigger toothbrush, too, then it gets all over you. and the Quip doesn't because it's a regular size toothbrush. Like, so my point is, the Quip does its fucking job.
I'm still using it. My only beef, because, you know, I'm nuts and I'm obsessed with syncing to the app. I have the one that syncs to the app, and then you get points, and then the points can be traded in for gift cards.
What have you traded in for so far?
I always get Target gift cards.
Oh, you do?
And then I laugh all you want, motherfucker. I get free shit at Target. Suck it.
Okay.
You know what they
still have at Target? Boxes and boxes of that new Taylor Swift album. It's not moving, dude.
The thing that we thought was going to be so fucking hard. Elise woke up at 5 in the morning to get that vinyl.
So did my mom.
And it's everywhere.
Walk past it now. It's days away from being on Endcap with a yellow tag.
Well, then buy another one because it's way too many fucking of them. That's also a masterpiece, and to have it on vinyl is a very special thing.
Is it? Again, the Target has 4,000 of them.
I know, but it's still special. But I want so Quip came out with I've been using that for years. I like it, but I like the kind of toothbrush that has the circular head that just.
But then you would like what I got.
Okay,
I do not like that.
But so Quip made one of those.
Yes,
but it does not sync to the app. It doesn't have that technology. It's just an electric toothbrush. So
it's the little cat. It's the thing inside. Is the Bluetooth?
I know, but it's a whole different system.
It's not the same.
No, it's looks more like what you're talking about. It's got more of a
I don't want the.
I know you don't, but I do.
You got small hands.
I want that. No, because I like that you don't have to work. You just hold it on the tooth and then it does it.
So let me ask a question.
Yeah.
In the Quip app, does it tell that you're pushing the brush against your teeth or does it just know that it's on?
I see where you're going.
All right. Just turn it on for the length of time that you're using the other one. You put the other one on too.
I think it knows if you just put it down, like it knows that it's moving around because it knows when you, because it measures how long you're in each quadrant.
Do you have duct tape?
I'm not going that far, man. I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy.
I say you try what Elliot says. Just put it next to you and let it run while you're brushing your teeth.
Darth Maul it.
There you go.
Dual blade? Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Just hold it on the bottom half of your palm.
No one has ever recreated the theme song of Darth Maul the way you just did.
Because I didn't.
It sounds like Psycho.
Yeah, a little more like that than actually.
That's Darth Maul jizzing on something.
I wonder if his dick's that way.
I would imagine. Wow.
Spiky or...
Two directions.
Tiger stripe.
No, two.
Oh, all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all questions. Brother.
Forked?
Yeah, he's saying forked cock.
I mean, I was assuming that, it's just like the sword, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what I said makes no sense. Let's be very clear.
Right. And Aaron's trying to help it with the fork.
Yeah.
All of it's going, everything's going sideways.
He's not a human. He's something else.
He sure isn't.
He's got spikes and that coloring is, I think, painted on in universe. I don't think it's.
No. No, that's their skin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I've seen ones without.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He has a brother.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Jimmy couldn't be more about to pass out than he's ever yellow. Been before.
See, his brother, it's like his face, but yellow instead of red.
I see.
What's that guy's name? And what's that race
called? John?
John Maul.
John Horn.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
I want to say Dothraki, but that is 100% wrong.
That's Game of Thrones. Yep.
And I wanted to say Asajj Ventress, but that's a different assassin from Star Wars.
Yeah, it's not Darth anything because he's not a Darth.
No, he's not a Darth.
Zabrak.
Zabrak.
Oh, boy, that doesn't sound right to me.
And by the way, Maul isn't his name either, right?
I guess that's his honorarium or whatever you call it.
What about the cigarette Pall Mall? You ever know anybody that smoked those as a kid?
All I know is I never understood why it was spelled that way. Well, it's isn't that pronounced pell-mell?
That's a different thing.
I think,
but it's spelled the same way.
P-A-U-L-M-A-U-L?
No, I thought
how are Pall Mall spelled?
P-A-L-L-M-A-L-L.
Right, exactly.
What is it?
P-A-L-L-M-A-L-L.
And in the true
the cigarette?
I think so.
Yeah.
But we pronounced it Pall Mall.
We do as Americans.
At least we did in the south side of Chicago.
We pronounced it and spelled it that way because that's how I would pronounce P-A-L-L and M-A-L-L.
I think my friend Brian Mell, his father's name was Paul Mell, and he smoked Paul Malls.
Wow.
And I didn't care for any of that.
But you kind of have to if that's your name.
I didn't like that he smoked.
Well, even if you don't smoke, you have to at least go, yeah, that's my brand.
I went on vacation with them. They were very nice one year. That between, I believe, junior and senior year, they would go down and rent a cabin at a resort in Georgia on a lake and where everything, like one of those inclusive sort of things where, you know, 9 o'clock on Wednesday is they teach you how to water ski. Mm-hmm. And then at 11 o'clock, you play water volleyball. Like it was like, you know, scheduled things.
Love it.
I loved it. And so they invited me to go along. And so it was the Mel family and me. They had three kids already. So it's four kids in the back of the station wagon, the mom and dad going down to Georgia and Paul smoking his Pall Malls all the way there.
Ugh.
And
that sounds horrible.
That part of it was awful. The rest of it was good. He did say this. This bothered me for years. And then when I got older, I appreciated that he said it. So we went to go golfing. That was part of it. You got to go golfing. Mm-hmm. And he went to the guy at the starter at the clubhouse and said, hey, is there any way we can get off? We can start on 10 and get out before everybody else. I play pretty consistently. My son, Darren, doesn't play that often. And Jim plays on a regular basis, but they're not always long and straight. And it infuriated me that he said that. Like, how dare you judge my game? But he said it to talk the guy into letting us sneak on and get in. And it made sense because, like, that's kind of what I say now when I go to the club. I go, you know, my son's just learning the game. You probably just want to let us sneak on. Mm-hmm. But I'm not gonna, for years, I was mad at the guy.
Yeah.
And then and the whole game, I'm like, here comes one long and straight, you motherfucker. Yeah. You want to see long and straight?
How about you take this drive up your ass?
How about that, Paul Mall? Put this cigarette up there, you fucking keister.
Did you outdrive him?
Never.
He's a grown man.
No, he's a grown man. Mine were short and in the woods.
Well, so he wasn't wrong.
No, first of all, he was going to be right. I just didn't like him saying it.
Right.
That's a family, by the way, that, and maybe I say this now out loud to the world now. Brian was the drummer in the band in high school. Mm-hmm. We also worked together. Darren, Brian, and I, we all worked together at the gas station. They've never shown up to a reunion. Like, nobody knows anything about the Mells.
Wow.
What's happened to the Mells?
They're not on Facebook?
No, they're nowhere.
Wow. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And then when I run into somebody else, I go, hey, you ever hear from Brian Mell? No, I never have. Or then Darren was 2 years younger, and I run into people from that generation. Hey, yeah, what about Darren Mell? No, I don't.
Well, Jimmy, we have a surprise for you.
The whole family?
Open the door, Garen.
Just a puff of smoke comes in. He was a nice man, Paul Mell. Obviously, they were nice. They brought me on vacation.
That's very nice.
It was nice. And Darren and I, we met two young ladies, and we hung out with them in the evening.
Man, did I always want that to happen when I was on vacation.
Right?
And it never did.
It did here.
That's unbelievable.
It did here. You know why? Because it was like this, again, this kind of resort.
Yeah.
So it worked. And so, like, we're kind of all held hostage in there in a way.
Yeah. We were going to the wrong places, I guess.
It never happened on any other vacation.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like...
I mean, I thought it would. I tried. Sometimes at Great America, you'd meet somebody and go on the roller coaster.
You had the confidence that I never had of just being able to go up to a girl and talk to her. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I wish I had that today.
For what purpose?
Just to say that I still have it.
Sure.
Somebody else cares for me other than my wife. And I'm not even 100% she's on board. Yeah. To be honest with you.
She's not, I can confirm.
Yeah. I was returning something at the Amazon, at Whole Foods. You could return your Amazon thing that you don't want. And the internet in there is horrible. So the QR code was not loading for them to scan it. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me see if I can get it in. And I'm doing, so I go, oh, I got to do it all over again. Okay, so return. This, why? I no longer need it. I click that button. Tell us more about why you don't need it. And then I was like, I saw it loud. I go, I don't know. I just don't dig it. And so Oliver's with me, and I go, all right, I'm typing that. I don't know. I just don't dig it. And the guy behind the counter just goes, and I go, Jesus, literally getting nothing. And Oliver could not stop laughing because I'm trying to be funny. And this guy gives me a nothing. And Oliver does the just starts laughing at the fact that his dad got shivved.
Love it.
Whatever. Oliver bounced a bit off me the other day that quite honestly, I'm like, here's the truth. In this setting, hysterical. Mm-hmm. In stand-up, it's not going to work.
Right.
And there's plenty of things like that. Yes. It doesn't mean it's not good.
Right.
I also told him, as if he was going up on stage every night or three times a week as an open micer, you try it.
Yeah.
But when your spots are every 2 months or whatever, you don't want to waste 2 minutes on that.
Right.
So he does it. And so he goes, and so Dad, can I try this new joke on you? He goes, I'm thinking about doing this at Flappers. I said, okay. And he goes, I won't do it. But he goes, you know, so I was this, and then, hey, so what is that? Ba-da-da-ba-da-ba? And I just went, huh? And he goes, oh, he hates it. He hates it. And he just, the joy, he got so much joy over me not laughing at it,
yeah,
that it was worth it.
That's great.
But also, quite frankly, I saved him because it would have gotten an eh.
That's the thing. If you go up every night, maybe you do it at bombs, but if you really care, you might try to figure out, like, how do I make this
right
work? Because this isn't it, but there's something that I think is funny here. How do I translate that into making a joke?
And maybe he will, because the premise was, this is the truth, the premise was a white supremacist, a neo-Nazi approached him at Whole Foods.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
And tried to, so then he was trying to riff on the idea of, yeah, what's a neo-Nazi doing at Whole Foods? Are they buying the, are they going to the third aisle on the Reich? You know, like, he was trying to find
like that,
some stuff. So
maybe you wanted a hoodie.
I believe a hoodie was involved.
Sure.
It was close.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you're going up every night, yes, you do it. You flesh it out.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it, our guest can't figure out the door.
We talked about this.
Right. So put them on the list. You know what? Let's start making a list.
That's a great,
the list of, yes, dumb fucks.
And we will publish it.
You know what? Clear off your whiteboard. It's no longer a day still fired. It's the list of dumb fucks.
I mean, this is fine for when it's someone like Jake Heath is a friend, but if it's a first timer, we don't
Albert
know.
Albert Brooks comes in here. I couldn't figure out I can't do an Albert Brooks impression. He was just up at Sketchfest.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Crazy, yeah, right?
That is crazy.
Is he finally maybe warming up a little bit to the idea of letting people tell him how much they love him?
Something must be going on. I think Richard Lewis passing away may have open the door to that a little bit of realizing that, life is short.
Sure.
God damn, would that be amazing if he was on this show?
Well, it's not for a lack of trust.
No,
his manager is always very nice.
Yeah. Mm.
And I believe he ended up doing Mark Maron's, right? Didn't he do Mark's?
Maybe. I think so. That sounds,
I'm sure he's going to do Conan's.
Right, right.
That would be, I just saw this, by the way, and I don't know if this number is accurate. Maybe he will do a $45 million heir Will Arnett's podcast. Does that sound right to you, that Will Arnett would be worth $45 million?
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of money.
He's worked
constantly the last 20 years.
Yeah, and I know that they got a lot of money to take that podcast over to...
oh, that's true. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes, Albert Brooks did do Mark Maron's
podcast. Yeah, I thought he did. When his book came out or something. There's something
2023.
Maybe when that documentary...
No, that was it.
That was more recent, wasn't it? That was like last summer.
No, it might have been.
I don't remember.
I will tell you this, though.
It might have been 2023.
It wasn't in his garage. I don't know if Mark Maron's still doing it in his
garage. No, Mark Maron's got a mansion or something now.
But here's but they were at the Georgian Hotel in Santa something. I have to read the rest of it.
Oh, he met him somewhere.
Yeah. Mm.
You know what?
We've never gone mobile.
We blew it when Mel Brooks' people said, if you wanted to come here, we could do it. And I was like, no, we don't do that.
But we can't do video. I mean, we could, but it wouldn't be good.
I mean, here's the thing. As much as we want to give video, if Mel Brooks wants to do
a
podcast.
Yeah, you stay home. We'll go do the Legends.
I mean, here's the truth. You're right. If that was the case today,
yeah, 100%.
At the time, you know, there weren't a million podcasts when this was happening. So it was like, no, please come to, you know.
Because it makes a difference.
It makes a difference to have them in the room. And it's
yes.
But if I reached out to Mel Brooks today and they said, Mel would love to do it. Can you come to his house? I no longer would be thinking about it. It would just be, tell us when and we're there.
And can we bring a couple cameras or not?
Yeah. And then if they say, yeah, you bring two cameras, then we do it.
Then we do it.
If they say no, we still do it.
Yep. Like,
and we go there. We do a top of show here. And then I go, and now enjoy this interview with Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Albert Brooks. Eddie Brooks. I'll go to the guy that makes Brooks shoes.
Oh, wow.
I'll go down. You know, I'll record Nara Brooke.
How about Brooks and Dunn?
Yes.
I was going to ask the exact same question. Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Here's a line from my act when a guy's wearing a country suit, shirt. What is that, from the Brooks and Dunn collection? And the audience laughs. Why wouldn't they? It's funny.
Do you ever listen to the Kelly Clarkson channel on SiriusXM?
Probably sometimes.
Not. Yeah, her bumpers are weird. Like she'll play like stuff I like, and then she'll be like, "Brooks and Dunn is my favorite act. I love to watch them. I love to listen to them. Great." I'm like, "What are you talking
They're
about?"
They're good.
Oh, okay.
No, I tell you what, you would probably like minimum five of their songs.
I mean, I know comes from country.
Don't count Boot Scootin' Boogie. Although that's a fun song.
That's, I guess my impression of them is different than maybe their entire.
Neon Moon.
Neon Moon's a good song.
Terrific. I've seen them a couple times at concert.
Yeah, they're good.
Well, why don't you just go with Kelly Clarkson and enjoy your Brooks?
I will.
Oh, good. I hope you have a good time.
She needs only ask.
I have not seen it yet. I'll have to look at it on the YouTube, but I believe last week Chicago was on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Oh.
The three guys that, and they have now publicly stated, the band Chicago, that Chicago will continue on without original members. Oh. Because the music is strong enough. Now, you make a face. Here's the thing, Matt. Nobody going to that Chicago concert knows who the fuck anybody
That's
is anyway.
Fair.
There's 1,000 people like me, and everybody else is going to hear Saturday in the Park and Hard to Say I'm Sorry.
Yeah.
So you don't know who's singing it, and you don't care.
It's such a weird thing, you know?
I think it's fucking, I'm not going to do it.
It's just, it's weird. Like, they're correct. And there are definitely acts where I'm like, I like these songs so much, I don't care who's singing them or playing the music. But there's some psychological thing where you're like, this isn't this, like, this feels,
but
like,
you wouldn't
less
know.
Exciting.
If you're just going to go, if you're going to go see Chicago, Earth, Wind & Fire, and then here comes Chicago, and the songs you know, you don't know that that's not Robert Lamb.
They've did it the right way, where they transitioned so gradually, like, that there are now people who are like, hey, I've been seeing this guy for 20 years.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you've seen this guy for 20 years. That's, he's been in the band for 22 years.
Right.
And that's not their heyday. Like, that's from the 90s on. But that's fine. Like, that's great. They've developed a following in their own right, even though they're playing these hits.
But it's not even a following. It's just people that are going because Chicago's in town.
Right. But I think they're like, you are obviously a huge fan, and you know everything about the people who've come in and people who've left. But I'm sure there's a lot of people who are like, I'm a huge Chicago fan, and I love this guy, not an original guy. No, no one's saying that.
No.
I would have assumed that the new guys are like, have to be good to get the job.
They are very good. They have no presence.
Yeah.
There is no, I mean,
well, there's no ownership. They haven't written any of the songs, right?
That's correct. They are, they're session musicians.
Hired guns.
They're hired guns.
Yeah.
And no, nobody's going, hey, Matt was great on bass today.
But what about the guy doing lead vocal?
Neil does a nice job. And maybe you walk away going, hey, that guy sounded good. But you don't walk away going,
hey, I'm a fan of Neil.
Yeah.
So it's the highest end tribute band you could have.
Basically.
Yeah.
I guess as you get older, you have to reconcile, like, I it's not possible to see the original thing that I loved, but I will see someone else doing that, because when you're young, you don't have to worry about that, because you just usually just like stuff that's new, and you go see it and you love it. And then when you get older, you're like, I still like that old stuff, but the people who made it aren't alive anymore, or they're not working anymore.
Well, the argument Lee Lochner made from Chicago, and it is valid. When you go see the Glenn Miller Orchestra, Glenn Miller's not there.
Oh.
You know, the orchestras always change musicians. It's never
fair.
The same. So it's like, why can't it be in a band? And a band like Chicago, okay. I'll go along with that.
I'm waiting to see. I know they said they're going to do this fucking hologram thing, but we all thought Kiss was going to do that, where it was like, it doesn't matter who's in the makeup.
Right.
It's the show. It's all the pyrotechnics and the songs and the ridiculous.
It's medieval times, but hard rock and a demon.
Yeah.
Which I would see. I'd see it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go see the Avatars once. And then come back here and go, guess what, guys? None of like that Skechers hamburger. The Avatars are pretty good. all right, let's take a break. J. Keith Van Stratton is here. He did not know how to use the door. Did you tell him we called him a dumb fuck, Garen?
I thought I would save that for you.
Okay. Probably knows it now.
But please make a note. We are now keeping a list. Open a separate document and title it Dumb Fucks Who Can't Figure Out the Door.
And
we're going to put his name at the top.
J. Keith is number one.
With a bullet.
Yeah, in our hearts and in our minds. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. I've got the con.
Mm-hmm.
Dramas that begin with the letter V. We'll find out right after this with J. Keith Van Stratton.
Oh.
Hey, gang. Matt here with some dates for you. J. Keith Van Stratton is on social media at J_Keith. He's also on Go Fact Yourself, the podcast he does with Helen Hong. It's super fun. You know about it because Jimmy's been on it multiple times. And you should check it out. Actually, Chris Grace was on a recent episode where he was a super fan of this show, of Never Not Funny, and then Jimmy was the special guest. So check that one out if you, obviously, it's something that you're interested in because you like this show. So check that out. And then also check out Jimmy doing his Midwest tour in April. On the 16th of April, he's at Zany's in Rosemont. On the 17th, he's going to the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. And on the 18th, he'll be at the Jukebox in Peoria, Illinois. Go to jimmypardo.com and click the tour link for all that stuff. And then don't forget, the new season's coming up. If you're already, obviously, you're already subscribed, but for 2025, we've got some new perks. We've got tote bags for the tier two and higher people. And we got a yearbook if you go up to tier three. People love the yearbooks. If you didn't get last year's and you're like, hey, I wish I had gotten that, jump in for the 2025 one. And there'll be more great photos and funny little scribblings from all of our guests. And that's fun stuff. So anyway, you can check that out. We'll give you more details as we get you know, into the actual, hey, it's happening. And you have to do something about it, like fill out a form on our site or whatever. But for now, just imagine how great those things will be and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 35V. Speaking of V's, Van Stratton is here. Jake Keith Van Stratton, the host of Go Fact Yourself, along with Helen Hong. They've got that program that I had the pleasure of being on recently.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like you were just here, yet I know calendar-wise that's not the case because we don't have people just have been here.
Right.
There's
yes, I get that a lot. I tend to linger.
I meant it in a positive.
Oh, okay. No, thank you. Garen called me part of the family when I got here and signed things.
Seems high, but I hear what he's I get his point. I think
maybe more step family. But
yeah,
still,
no, yeah. I don't disagree. I think Jay Keith is
it's incredibly humbling. It's amazing.
I was thinking about you the other day, and I bring this up every time you're here, I think, we've known each other a long time, mm-hmm. and you were at my wedding, and mm-hmm. I know that we brought that up in the past, and I will be at your wedding. And I think if anybody was to ask, are you and Jay Keith great friends? I think both of us would say no.
Wow. So you don't want to come to the wedding? What do we?
No, I'm kidding.
I wouldn't say we're great friends, but I would say that we have a great affection for one another.
I would say we're very good friends.
Really?
Oh, no? Oh, good heavens.
This is Broken Bad. And
have we?
In so many directions.
Here's how I define friends. Because it is difficult.
I'm with you.
It is difficult in comedy and showbiz stuff because you do have a great affection for people even when you don't see them on purpose. You
know,
I was just at Sketchfest in San Francisco. It was my first time there. And I saw people I hadn't seen in 10, 15 years. But they're still, oh, my God, how are you? And like, it's a hug. It's not just a, hey, how are you? And it's, you know, taking photos. And there's a real sense of camaraderie. And so I definitely feel like we have that. And but also we have. My definition for friendship is A, do we have each other's phone numbers?
Yes. The answer is yes.
And B, have we socialized on purpose? Have we seen each other socially on purpose? And we have at least once.
We have once.
Because we went to the movie.
And you are also a person. And, and as I've said to the listener, it is a very small holiday gathering that we have.
Wow.
So that people do not have their feelings hurt if they're not invited.
Sure.
It is very small. But again, Danielle and you have been friends a long time. You've been at our wedding. You make the cut come to our holiday function.
Oh, my heart.
So that I think that would mean that we are good friends.
Okay.
Does this include baseball games?
But yet, we go to baseball games.
We haven't gone to baseball games. Not since pandemic year. Yeah.
But we have socialized.
On purpose. Yes.
Yes, it's really
happening.
But the party is really Danielle inviting him, right?
Yeah. No, Danielle I've not socialized with on purpose.
To be honest with you.
Is it Pardo?
I think it's me at this point.
Oh, she's like, please no. And you're like, I will use my veto power.
Well, and I want to say that we take that responsibility very seriously. We actually delayed our plans to leave town until the day after because we knew we knew what it meant.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see who I was going to be substituted for.
Well, I can tell you this. A guy that works for me hasn't shown up 2 years in a row.
Is that Garen?
Yeah.
Wow.
2 years in a row he hasn't shown up.
I've been there 2 years in a row. Am I replacing Garen at your parties?
Oh, if only.
Not just at your parties.
If only.
I've thought about throwing my hat in the ring to see if you ever need a substitute Garen.
Oh, Garen for a day?
Yeah, Garen for a day. But I wasn't sure if that was beneath me or if that was too much of a stretch for me.
Here, I'll tell you what. I would put that in the same way that I would reach out to a Matt Donaher,
mm-hmm.
Somebody else's Never Not Funny family.
Mm.
I think that you are grandfathered in that it is not beneath or above you. I think it's like
right at my station.
Yeah, you're part of the team.
I love it.
But I wouldn't. I wouldn't be insulted if you decided it was beneath you. Like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, that sounds
well, that's
right.
Ideal to get asked and then say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I would then you would be banished forever, but I'm saying I would understand it.
Got it.
I'll tell you this. Last week, we had the drummer from the Todd Glass Show fill in for Garen. So wow. That lets you know the level we're going.
Okay.
That's a joke because Eric listens to the show and he loves it and he's a great guy.
Excellent.
Eric Calvert. You know Eric Calvert?
Not by name.
Oh, he's great. Great guy.
Yeah. How was he as a Garen for the day?
Not the greatest. Okay. No, he was wonderful.
There's room for me to shine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was actually great. He, you know, Donaher tries too much. He runs his mouth too much, which is why he doesn't get called anymore. He's annoying.
So well, the good thing to know is if I do it, I know that whatever job I do, it'll just be between us. It's not going to be something that's going to be talked about after.
Nobody will ever discuss it publicly.
Exactly.
We won't insult you. Or
it's a fine line over there. You got to, especially as you're fitting in, you want to have some personality at the same time. It is a job, really. Your job is to sit there and look things up when I yell at you to do so.
Right. Not today, though. Not today.
Now you're in the big seat.
I used to be very nervous about coming in. I remember the first couple of times. And I remember you actually said something that was very insightful.
What did I say?
I think the first time. It was something to the effect of how when people are nervous. I don't think you said this on my episode. Later you said this on another episode. I don't think it was about me, but I took it to heart. And now I'll stop with that. Which is that I think sometimes when people are nervous or maybe feel threatened by something, they go to insulting.
Yes.
Or criticizing. And I definitely did that on the first episode. I also because I don't think I'd seen you in a while. And, you know, in my mind, I hadn't been a listener to the show like I am now. You know, in my mind, like, oh, that's what Pardo does. And he loves getting it back and all that. And so, you know, that's something that's not my usual style.
Right.
And so I thought I wanted to fit in. And so I did that. And I took that to heart. So now I barely remembered that I had to come in.
Oh, yeah. But the other way. Yeah.
You were standing out in the hallway like an idiot. We were like, come on, get in here already.
Yeah,
like,
I had to go. I had to go make an important phone call. It wasn't that important.
Oh, I should tell you this. I meant to tell you this out there. I'm expecting a phone call from a doctor. And,
you?
And so if the doctor calls, I have to take the call.
I understand.
So even if you're mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Please don't think I'm being rude.
I have already seen a doctor this morning, and I'm seeing another one tomorrow.
Oh boy,
good for you!
Yeah, it's the Jimmy Pardo way.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the insult stuff that Jimmy did, but I am doing the medical attention.
Well, I hope you're doing. Are you feeling okay?
Oh, I know everything's.
Can I talk you around buttoning that top button?
Absolutely. Let me tell you this: when I picked up this coffee nearby, I had it full unbuttoned, and I looked in there. I was like, I don't know, they're gonna, you know. And then I did this. It should be this. Oh, I could go all the way.
No, yeah, I would.
That's the right.
The best part about coming in here is you'll never not know what you could be doing better.
Should we change the name of the show to Never Not Knowing What You're Doing Better?
It didn't look comfortable.
It's only slightly less convoluted.
That was not comfortable for you.
It was fine, but I'm you know.
Well, it wasn't comfortable to look at, I'll tell you.
Okay.
It made me very uncomfortable on your behalf. Now, you and your beautiful bride, Sarah.
My bride-to-be.
Bride-to-be, exactly.
My pre-wife.
We saw you recently, and then you guys went to, you have a cabin.
We do.
And you go to, how often do you go to the cabin?
During the summer, not very often. Sarah works on the TV reality show Big Brother during the summer, and they have a very intense schedule, so we can't go more than just overnight when that happens. But outside the summer, we were there in December as soon as we left your party the next day, we were there for the rest of the year.
So let me ask you a question about this cabin.
Okay.
Is, like, right now, is it sitting empty, or is it a timeshare situation? Do others use it? Or is it your cabin?
You do have to go to a presentation in order to stay there.
I don't know how cabins work.
No. It's in our particular case, we're very fortunate to own it outright.
Okay.
And so, right now it is empty. I actually offered it to several people, refugees from these wildfires.
Oh.
Nobody, no takers. Nobody.
Well, it is in the middle of the forest.
It is a little farther
away. And maybe in the forest during fires isn't the most safe.
There is also that. The power, they've been turning the power off a lot lately because of the winds and all that kind of stuff. Frankly, it was bad of me to offer.
you're not a good person,
asshole.
but it is empty. It is something that in the near future we would like to do some Airbnb-ing for, but we have not quite gotten it up to snuff there. But Elliot has stayed there as a beta tester.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He came back and raved.
Did he?
It was a great beta test.
Yeah.
Was that Thanksgiving?
It was the week, the Saturday or the Friday after Thanksgiving. Yeah.
And I've offered it to you, but I understand because of your cat allergies. You know, when we come up, we bring our cats, and even though we take them away, I get it.
I would love to. There's nothing I like more than the great outdoors.
No, most of you in this room are welcome to use it.
Most of us.
No, Garen's not allowed.
Figure that out.
No, he won't show up.
Work it up. We can work it out.
I'm also allergic to cats, so unfortunately, I'll also be out. Although I can take a
Whatever. I love cats.
You're not welcome.
Do you have a car?
Do you have a car?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then we'll start walking now. See how long it takes. Call us when you get there.
That would be quite a walk.
You have a guest who comes on sometimes who lives up there, but I don't know who.
Yeah, Kevin Bigley.
Kevin Bigley.
Yeah, Kevin Bigley.
Yes.
Yeah, so and also, who's the other fellow that lives up there? John Dora lives up there, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a third that drives in from that area.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
At some point, we'd love to do one of our Go Fact Yourself shows up there, like in Big Bear. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe get some.
Were you at the Galaxy Theater for?
We were not. We were at the Gateway Theater.
Oh, the Gateway, rather. That's what I meant. That's where we performed. The Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
How'd it go?
It was one of the best nights of my life.
Oh, it was incredible. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, it was. I was very nervous about it because we don't have a huge following in general, but also because I was trying to upright myself on the chair and I slipped off.
I wasn't expecting
these arms to be so narrow. But maybe next time.
Oh, we'll get you bigger on. Yeah, I apologize.
Thanks. I appreciate that. But the place was packed.
Great.
And the audience was so happy to see. It was the best crowd we've ever had by far.
Really?
As soon as we walked out, just this huge wave of ovation.
Oh, wonderful.
And our guest, we had Jennifer Tilly and Adam Savage. Mm-hmm. And
nice.
I knew that they were fun people. I didn't know that they were funny. Jennifer Tilly is actively a funny person and great. And they were just riding the wave of the whole thing and really enjoying being there. And then, so we had this wonderful show. And then afterwards, I meet people, and apparently we have fans, which you never know when you're in LA.
right. That's true.
It's probably different for you because, you know, you can fill up flappers and do all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we're a more humble outfit over at Go Fact Yourself. But people were there, like, wearing our merch and, like, asking us to sign things. There was a couple that came over from Denmark just to see us.
Whoa.
I don't know why they couldn't go to LA, but they went to San Francisco. and then there was a guy who had said that he's an ER nurse. And during COVID, he thanked us for helping him to get through COVID.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm like, you're thanking us? Like, we just do a stupid little trivia show, but that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then, as I'm talking, I look over and I was like, that guy kind of looks familiar. And before I can get it out, he introduces himself. He was a guy I went to junior kindergarten with in Chicago, hadn't seen since eighth grade, didn't even know he lived in the States, didn't know he was in San Francisco, didn't know he was coming to the show. So it was just, it was very moving.
Cool.
But the show also was pretty good from what I hear.
Great.
Yeah, people seem to enjoy it. So
now, does Jim Newman go out and meet
people? Jim Newman comes up. Yes. Does he greet people?
Does anybody want to meet Jim Newman?
Does Jim Newman want to meet anybody?
Well, we know the answer to that is no, unless they want to talk about Banachek.
Well, in the words of Jim Newman, creepy people dig me. And so there are people who are really into specific nerdy stuff. I don't know if we had fans who necessarily wanted to meet him, but we did have a contingent of people in his orbit that came out and who were there to see him. And of course, people are happy to see Helen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a few creepy autograph seekers for Jennifer Tilly. And, you know, there are people who had like five Funko Pops for her to sign and stuff like that. But it was an incredible experience and very grateful. Yeah,
I like that venue. That venue is the perfect size.
Yeah, it's great. And it's funny because now I'm like, well, maybe if they have us back again, like maybe they'll want to get a bigger venue. But I don't know if I want that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Be full there.
That's exactly what I was hoping for. And again, I was shocked that we were full because that was the biggest crowd and the best crowd that we've had.
Yeah, it's a nice little area backstage to hang out in.
Yeah.
And the stage is a nice stage to perform on. And the audience is, they're right. It's just, it's big enough and small enough. They're right there, yet they're, you feel like you got a full, it's really perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
For podcasting, for communicating.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, and the sound, you know, just the ovations that we got was just, you know, just really.
Jesus came Christ, right we get it. You're fucking great.
Yeah. We didn't go this year, Keith. All right, Jay Keith.
Why didn't you go?
Not invited.
Not invited
what?
This year. What happened last year?
We didn't
fill the room.
Oh, okay.
I believe we do every other year up there.
Oh, okay.
I think is what happens, and so we did not do this year.
Yeah.
And I think some listeners got confused because of the pandemic. We hadn't been up there, so I think they thought we were going to be there 2 years in a row. We were there. There were years we were there a couple of years in a row. Then we decided to do every other year, and I think that's what happened. I think this was an off year.
Okay.
So we'll be,
it seems like you guys are doing fine, though. No.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we'll have a business meeting after.
everything's fine.
Everything's great.
Everything's real good, Jake Keith.
Well, I hear you're talking about going to different places on the road. And
Not as Never Not Funny. That's not cost effective.
Interesting. What are the extra costs?
Him. I can go to a place on my own and do an hour and I get all the dough.
Mm.
Why do I want this fucking sack with me?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All it does is clunk things up. I mean, why would you spend more money to have a lesser show?
Have you considered doing your stand-up as a podcast?
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's some value over here. Yeah.
No, I all joking aside, we do have to, some Never Not Funny live shows need to happen.
Yeah.
They will happen. It's becoming more, it may get easier with Oliver going to college and Zoe eventually going to college, although Charlie will still be around, but it's the cliche of there's a lot going on, and it's harder to get away when they're younger.
Yep.
It was easier to get away on a weekend and do some shows.
Yep.
As they're getting older, there's a lot. And then eventually they will get old enough where it's easy again.
Yeah.
So we're in a weird pocket where it's hard to get away.
Got it. And do we know where Oliver is going to college? Is that public information?
We've got some ideas, but no, it is not public.
Okay, got it.
It's also not decided, right?
Yeah. So that's why I say we have some ideas.
Yeah,
Well, you know, we're all hoping for Oral Roberts University.
You and I both. Okay. So, like it'll be here in Los Angeles, in California,
okay,
which is good for his his dad and his dad's emotions.
Got it. That empty nest is going to have a little string attached to the bottom of his leg.
Yeah, and the first Sunday he doesn't want to meet for lunch will break my heart.
Oh my God!
Hey, Zay, your old man's going to be in the area. Maybe we swing by and I get some lunch. I can't do it.
And the cat's in the cradle
and the silver spoon. Little boy blue. You know I love Manny Patinkin.
Yep.
And as I've talked about before, he does a version of this song.
That's the connection.
And he does the line where it's the kid comes back from school, comes back from college. So much like a manager, proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I really like that is to borrow the car keys. Can I see you later? Can I have them, please? Mm-hmm. Manny Patinkin says it like this. See you later. Can I have them, please? It's a college kid, Mandy.
Maybe he's a rock star.
He's not in eighth grade.
Can I have them, please?
Yeah, you could be Sunset Stripping it.
Yeah, that was like Axl Rose. Yeah.
It is so fucking wrong.
Yeah.
I love, you know, Mandy, I love him.
Yeah, you're
but he's wrong. He
made a choice and the choice was incorrect.
Choice is wrong. And nobody, it was, you know, that nobody went, should we tell him that the kid's 22 years old? And like, I'm not telling him. You tell him. You know he can fly off the handle.
I think to him, everybody seems like a kid because he's so
old. Or a whiner.
Yeah, maybe that too. He's like, stop asking me for things. God damn it.
It's so bizarre. You hear in show business, a lot of people they say he's impossible to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then whenever you see an interview with him, he is nothing but the nicest guy in the world.
Superman.
Yeah. It's crazy. But then you hear these stories. Like Billy Crystal, you hear from everybody he's a prick. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on TV and you go, yeah, I can kind of see it.
Yeah.
I still love him. We talk about it all the time. Yeah. Love Billy Crystal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But Mandy, it's like you would just never believe it.
It's weird. I mean, I guess he's good at turning it on when he needs to.
Or is he just such a... Maybe he's not a dick. Maybe he just wants things to be right or something.
Most of the stories you hear about him being a dick, though, are related to the work. Like that he wants it done, correctly in a certain way. And so maybe that comes off as...
He cares, dick-ish. Which I think is good in some ways, but I could also see it being...
Well, everybody, you know what? Pam Stone. Remember Pam Stone, the comedian Pam Stone?
Mm-hmm.
She was on the TV show Coach.
Mm-hmm.
She played Dauber's... she was a gym coach and then played... Dauber's girlfriend, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a good stand-up. I believe she's out of the business at this point, but owns horses. And
she's horse people.
She's horse people.
Okay, yeah.
She was on Coach, and apparently Craig T. Nelson was a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but nobody says, when people badmouth the show, they badmouth Coach. He's Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants it to be perfect so nobody's mad at them.
Right.
So, and same with Brett Butler. Brett Butler got a lot of heat for wanting her show to be perfect.
Right.
And everybody called her, you know, a bitch because she was trying to make a good show.
Right.
And again, same deal. You know, they're talking about the Brett Butler show.
Right.
And so I understand that argument. So maybe that's the same with Manny Patinkin.
Thought about this I've had recently, which is.
Gotta take it.
Okay. Very good.
Oh, this is the doc?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's like the difference between somebody who can see colors the way we consider normal and then colorblind. All of us are colorblind to the artistic needs of some of these folks. It doesn't seem like it's necessary, but they perceive something that's actually there that makes a difference to them, but doesn't necessarily make a difference to everyone.
But there are people who make
them.
Great art who don't have a reputation of being dicks.
Sure. But like I say, if somebody said to you, that red is wrong, that's the wrong red.
Mm-hmm.
And you were colorblind, you wouldn't know why they were saying it's the wrong red. But to them, it's important because they can see the difference.
Yeah.
I'll say this.
So that's some dicks.
I hear what you're, you know, you guys, and you've said this, that I mean, for the most part, I'm as much as I bitch and moan, I'm pretty easy to work with.
Yes.
And, but at movies on our house, I did blow up one day because I wanted something done you know, it was Rachel and I are the faces of the show, and we had to, we were being asked to do something that neither of us thought was funny or in character what we were doing, and I was the one that spoke up, and then all of a sudden Jimmy was a problem, and it was like, but I'm doing it because I want the show to be right and be in the right voice. So I get it at the same time. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's hard to...
You got quiet when I said I'm easy to work.
Well, you said you guys have said this, and I was like, have I?
Doesn't out, sound like out me. Loud?
Yeah, when did I say that? No, I think it's... I think there are obviously cases where people are tyrannical, and it's not about the art. It's just about...
The power.
They like have to exert whatever to feel better about themselves. Or they can't stand any dissent.
Right.
You know, like it's and so... But I think most creative endeavors are collaborative. And so a lot of people react poorly, even if the person might be like pure of heart in terms of what their intent is to be that way. It's still like, yeah, but you're not... You're being myopic. You're only accounting for your own perspective on what would make this good. You have to sometimes trust the people around you to also know what's good and or what would make this good. And if you, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, I think people end up working with people that they don't, that they feel like they can't trust, or they just don't, they don't value their taste level, and so that's where you get into trouble. You're like, yeah, you're telling me it's all good, but I think your taste sucks, so I'm not going to fucking agree with you on that, and I have to stand up for what I believe. And that,
how do you stand up? You can stand up in a way that
that's the other question.
Gives people their dignity, and you can do it in a way that tries to take it away.
But doesn't it take longer to do it that way with the dignity and all that?
It is easier to just say
all that.
Yeah,
Garen, this is not going to refill itself.
Oh. Do you have a preference?
You know what? Let's get rid of those fucking purples, man. So bring one of those, and we'll do that. This has become soup, and I don't like it.
We should have... Oh.
There's no time to question. There's no time to think. His hummingbird energy is starting to sink. His questionable sanity stands at the brink. Jimmy requires a monster drink.
Is that a parody?
No.
It's an original. No,
it's an original.
That's in the style of...
Doc Julin original.
It wasn't the B-side of Monster Mash?
No. Doc Julin, by the way, on tour with Michael Shannon. I believe the tour has started, is it not?
I think so. Hoping to see it when it comes to Los Angeles.
What do they do?
They're doing they do an R.E.M. They're an R.E.M. tribute band.
Is Michael Shannon the British actor?
That's right.
Wow.
He's a very good singer.
Is he British?
No, he's from Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of the other Michael.
That's Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen.
Yeah, Michael Shannon is the guy who looks sinister no matter what he's doing.
Right. And Michael Sheen was in Platoon.
That's Charlie Sheen.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Charlie Sheen was the one on the West Wing.
Nope, that's Martin Sheen. Come on, keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
Right. Martin Sheen is the one who has properties of being shiny.
That's just a sheen.
Okay, great. Yeah,
just a generic sheen.
And what you did there was put a button on it. That was a...
Yes, a very disappointing tiny button.
Could have gone on with the Martins. Could have gone with the Martin Balsam.
Martins.
Could have gone Martin.
And the sheen, the Chinese fashion thing. Isn't that called sheen?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay,
Martin Landau was on the table.
Yeah. You went...
He's always on the table.
We always welcome Landau. Yeah. I met Martin Landau at one of those autograph signings.
I met Martin Landau at the farmer's market once.
Oh, was he pleasant?
He was... tolerant. This is when I was doing the talk show, the J. Keith Van Stratton show.
Yes.
And
asked him in public?
Well, a lot of I had to book a celebrity for every show. And
yeah.
So a lot of times it was, fortunately you live in LA and you run into people sometimes. And oftentimes, you know, I was behind Malcolm Jamal Warner at the Beehive Coffee place, and I started talking with him, and he did the show. That was great. And so I hate having to approach people and do that, but it was the nature of the beast. You had to. So I saw Martin Landau at the farmer's market, and I said, hey, I do this, blah, 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 and I'd love to do it. I probably had a card or something like that. And then, coincidentally, it might have been our very first review came out in the LA Weekly or maybe something in LA Magazine then. Then I went to the newsstand and got it, and I was walking, and he was still there.
Oh, no.
And so I did. I like, opened it to the pages. Oh. Basically, to say, like I'm really a person. I'm a legit. Like, it's in writing here, and I handed it to him, and he was like, oh, good for you. Yeah, that was it. We never had Martin Landau on the show, and now he's dead.
I believe Rachel Quaintance has a Martin Landau story.
Well, I have a friend.
That qualified as a story, but
was it?
I don't know if that qualified as a story.
It's a story, beginning, middle, end.
Nice.
Yeah. A friend of mine was hit on by Martin Landau.
Really? Okay.
And basically, her review was, "If I wasn't with somebody, I would have done it."
Oh,
because he was so smooth. Like he was.
Also,
like,
that's a story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
I fucked Martin Landau. Sure. In fact, then you write a book.
Did it right in the eyebrows.
Yeah, he's another guy that just looks sinister no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was sitting on a milk crate smoking at the autograph, backstage at the autograph thing. That's when I did that Conan thing.
He
was two tables over from me.
I did that show once. I booked myself on it.
I went there to support
did you.
You?
Did, oh, bless your heart.
You were the Beat the Geeks guys.
That's right, yes. I somehow got myself on there and then recruited the Beat the Geeks
and
guys.
And how did it go?
We charged $5 per signature, either on our own photos or anything
that
might
have. That is low.
And, well, this was in 2001,
okay.
which
oh,
is
okay.
also very still very low. And we barely made enough to cover the printing of the photos
really?
That we did, yes.
But at least you covered that.
Yeah. It was fine. It was, I think you had talked about, like, even though you know you were there as a goof, it still felt a little humiliating.
Oh, I hated it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you walking past me?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're not real.
Yeah.
No, you're not a real character from Baywatch, you dumb fuck.
Right. But my feelings are.
At least I had people to talk to. Like, I had the other right. three geeks to talk to. And I also had the excuse of, like, well, we weren't announced. Like, that's why. Because the few people who did get autographs, almost all of them said, like, oh, I didn't know you guys were going right. to be here. We love the show. That kind of a thing.
Well, there are some people that from like they were in one horror movie in the 80s. There's a lot of those.
Oh my God.
Girls.
If you can get in a horror movie or anything sci-fi,
yeah.
you can make a maybe not a living, but you can make a nice side hustle.
But I was gonna say there's some that
that's it.
They don't get one person all day.
Oh, that's so sad.
And they sit there all. Then you see them at the next one, and
yeah.
it's like you came back.
What? Oh,
why
gosh.
Do you keep throwing the money around for this?
Yeah. Well, do they pay to be there?
They put their
stuff out.
Don't you have to give them a little piece of the? Of the action?
I mean, again, this was 24 years ago, so I don't quite remember, or maybe it's changed or something. But at that time, I believe it was like, oh, we've got an empty table. Do you want to do this? So maybe that would just kind of worked out. But yeah, we've got people like we've got guests and experts on the show, and a lot of times it's from a very specific movie or something.
Right.
And yeah, it's amazing that they are able to ride that train as long as they do. But then other times, there was this quiz show expo last year, sort of a convention for game show nerds.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of, iconic game show folks doing signings. And it was not a successful event commercially from what I understand. But part of it also was I think you had to pay $40 or something to get in. And then it was like $70 to get,
someone
who had been on Match Game a few times autograph on something.
No, the premise is you don't charge a cost to get in.
Yeah, I think they may have changed or may have gotten comps or whatnot. And it was too bad. It was a really lovely event for game show nerds, but I think it was a little too niche.
Yeah.
We ended up doing a live show there to far fewer people than we had in San Francisco, but it was still fun.
I will say this too: the it was not advertised very well.
Oh, okay. Oh, you went to it?
No, I did not
go. Okay, but
I was out of town, I believe.
Okay,
because I wanted to go.
Oh, okay,
I wanted to be asked to be part of it. having hosted several game shows,
sure.
But apparently, my friend Bob Bowden didn't remember me that day.
Aww.
But I would have done it in a heartbeat,
oh, yeah,
and
okay.
I would have sat sadly at my table,
yeah.
and had people insult me and tell me my game show sucked. But I would have gone.
Yes. Well, Bob Eubanks didn't have a lot of traction there, so I don't know how well.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, like Bob Eubanks
wow.
was there, and it was mostly the talent, just kind of milling around and talking to each other. It didn't seem like they had a lot of people who were, willing to
pay to get.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Which is too bad because I love the idea of it. And,
me
and
too.
I did see it ever. I mean, maybe because I'm in that Facebook, game show geek,
right.
Demo or whatever. But
it should have gone. I guess my point is it should have gone broader than that.
Right, right. It should have been.
Because it was Bob Bowden's museum stuff. He brought all of his stuff. And
yes.
You got to see the wheel, right?
Yeah, you got to spin the wheel from Price is Right.
Yeah.
Sure, let's say that. And and they had some other really cool memorabilia and some really interesting panels and all that. But
yeah.
I think it may have been a little bit too niche. But you're right. They should have had, here's the game show room, and then here's, Jose Canseco or something like that.
Good call.
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
I have paid for his autograph when I was a teen.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was a huge baseball card collector and would go to shows and all that.
And you are a little bit younger than me, but back in my day, you did not. They did not charge for autographs. You just went and.
I think it was
they got paid by from the function.
Oh, I think I was getting into. I was mostly in collecting when that was starting to be a thing.
Okay.
But it wasn't the ridiculous prices that you see now on the ridiculous restrictions.
Where right.
It's like, you know, if it's a bat, it's $500 more.
Yeah.
And it has to be, you know, and that thing that they kind of referred to in Jerry Maguire, which like, you know, he won't sign anything from this manufacturer from this year because of a contract, right, that kind of stuff. No, back when I went, if I recall, like you could get, yeah, Tony Gwynn's autograph for, you know, $8 or something.
Right.
Which I did.
In my day, it was free. Again, you just show up. And then they started charging. But if you want it personalized, then it would be free.
Because then you couldn't sell it. That's funny. Not the opposite. Not because you used all that extra Sharpie ink. Yeah, I don't recall any of them being free unless it was like at a sports card store or like, you know, they had obviously paid them to appear.
Right.
They'll do that now with like Angels players at like a, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods or a T-Mobile store or something like that. But I don't have time to wait that long anymore.
Growing up, it was always like it would be a bank opening or something. It would be one Cub player and one White Sox player.
Okay.
And so everybody would come down. You'd wait in line. You'd get autographs from both guys. And it was fun. You're a kid. And you're waiting in line. And even though it was like, again, Wayne Nordhagen. Who gives a fuck about Wayne Nordhagen? But when you're 11 and he's the right fielder for the White Sox, you care about Wayne Nordhagen.
Yeah. And also, we had a lot fewer options of things to do.
That's true.
So it's not like we were like, oh, I'm missing anything. It was like, that's your afternoon. I may have told this before in the show. I once waited in line at least 45 minutes to over an hour at Rose Records in Chicago to get an autograph of Taco.
Putting on the Ritz,
which I still have on my 12-inch single of Putting on the Ritz. I have
his autograph.
I still have it with the, and it, of course it was done in the silver pen, the metallic silver pen. The actual Taco.
Full disclosure, if I had that, it would be on my wall with my other autographed albums.
Oh, interesting. I should look into putting that up.
Put it in a frame.
Put in a frame.
Be proud.
Speaking of record stores, Carl and Larry Rosenbaum, who owned the Flipside record chain in Chicago, wrote a book about opening up the Flipside Records and then going into concert promoting as well as ticket sales. And it's great.
Yeah.
It is a real I got it for Christmas. It is a great walk down memory lane of the record store eras from the from 75 to 90.
Wow.
And it's if you're a person of my age, especially from Chicago, it's great.
I don't remember. Do they have locations on the north side?
Oh, yeah. Mostly north side.
I don't remember what our big record store was.
Well,
it was
Rose and Rolling Stone.
Rose came later.
See Here.
Oranges.
See Here. Oh, my God. See Here.
Oranges
was
south side.
See Here Records is where we used to. That was our video rental store.
Yeah. Because that was the C part of it.
Yeah, that was the C part of it. Yes, and they kept records on index cards of all the of the videotape rentals.
Yeah.
And I rented used cars so many times that eventually they would just put a check mark next to my name instead of actually filling it out. And I knew exactly where to forward to see the boobies.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. The place near our house did the exact same thing. And then one time, my stepfather rented a movie, and then I came in after him and saw what movie he rented, and then and said something, and then from then I had my own account from that day on.
Was it involving a green door and being behind it?
It may have been. Okay. Yes, yeah. I don't remember what the movie was, but I did not understand that maybe that's not going to be a fun inside joke between me and my stepfather.
Right.
He was doing that, the way that we all do, with shame.
Yeah, yeah.
And did not want his stepson knowing that he rented a movie while his wife is at work and his stepson's at school.
Well, on the flip side, anytime I would watch a movie that I knew had boobies in it and my dad would come in, I would have to tell him, oh, I've never seen this before.
Ah.
So that if tits came up, like, what? Yeah.
What is your dad's name?
My father's name is Tom or Thomas.
Thomas Van Stratton.
Yes. He's in town. I'm seeing him tonight.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
We're going to have dinner. And then this weekend we're going suit shopping for my wedding.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And when you say dinner, is he coming to the house for dinner? Are you guys going out?
We were supposed to go to our cousin's, and then she texted saying that she's sick. And so I believe we'll go out somewhere nearby.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes.
You live near this. We talked about this the other day on this program that there are Television City.
Sure.
They're digging it up. They're going to rebuild it.
Yes.
Is that including the Grove?
No, the Grove is a separate from Television City. Yeah. But they're doing a huge redevelopment there to put a whole bunch of new studios. It's a huge investment.
Right.
There. And I was on the I resigned from my role on the Mid-City West Neighborhood Council.
Oh, you have?
Yes. Just too much boring.
Confirmed.
A lot of long meetings. It was nice while it lasted. But yeah, that was one of the big issues that kept coming up is there was, you know, whether there was a lot of – it was a very polarizing project. Ended up being unanimously approved both by us and I think by the city council. So yeah, no, it's a big deal. And no longer CBS Television City. They've taken all the CBS-ness
right,
off
it's just
it.
Television
yeah,
City.
Just Television City.
And at the moment, nothing is being shot there?
No, that's right. Right. Because they moved Prices Right. I don't know if they're
a soap opera, maybe.
I mean, Young and Restless has been there. I don't know. I don't know the current state. I know in general they shoot Bill Maher there, Young and the Restless, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars. Like historically those have been shot there.
Right.
But I don't know if it's because in preparation for this huge project they're moving things out there or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, definitely, obviously, Price is Right is now in Glendale.
As is Wayne Brady's. Which
yes.
is
Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal. Yeah. Exactly. We'll wish them luck as we do all game shows. You know that.
That's true.
And you would
even Beat Shazam?
I think Beat Shazam is a great show.
Even Name That Tune? The only Name That Tune?
Oh, yeah. The new Name That Tune?
Yeah.
Unwatchable.
Yes, I agree.
Absolutely unwatchable.
Absolutely unwatchable.
Beat Shazam is a better version of Name That Tune.
Yeah.
A modern day Name That Tune. Mm-hmm. Do I need to see Jamie Foxx and his daughter do banter? I don't.
Right.
But the game itself is it's a really good mechanism for a game.
And has he won an Oscar? Did he win his Academy Award?
Oh, let's think. I don't think he mentions it that
often. No, okay.
If you look into the history books,
did anybody watch his special? Did you watch the special where he talks about his illness?
I saw a clip of it because I think it was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Now I feel bad for making fun of him.
Do we know?
Okay?
So do we know what it was? Because he said it. Now I'm going to tell you.
Oh, I don't know.
And it seems like nobody's then revealed what was said.
Turns out he had cooties.
Oh no!
Yeah,
they warned us about it.
That was going around when I was a young kid.
Yeah.
But then I thought we outgrew it. But I guess you can still.
Once you have it, it stays dormant.
It's like the herp.
Yeah, and if you get it when you're older, it's kind of like shingles.
Oh, it's worse. Yeah, you don't want it older.
To get that vaccine.
Yeah. He said he suffered a brain bleed that led to a stroke.
Oh, wow. Man.
Now we're dicks.
Well, were we not dicks before?
Yeah, we're a comic show. You know what? He's a comic. And by all accounts, he's got a great sense of humor. Doesn't he seem like a comic that has zero sense of humor?
Kind of, yeah.
He's good, though. He's good in everything.
He really
is a talented man.
What's the movie with Tom Cruise that I can never remember the name of?
Collateral.
God damn it, that's a great movie.
Very, very good.
They're both great in that movie.
Yep.
And he's, you know what, I the banter with his daughter is awkward, but he does a good job on that Beach Jam. That's a good show. All right.
It's just odd that I still can't, I don't watch that show, but I just can't get over people who are up here showbiz wise.
Right.
And then they're like, now I'm going to host a game show.
Get out of here.
That's why, I don't know about you, but that's certainly part of why I'm out of the game show hosting world.
Well, I think it's
because, once you win an Oscar and you're hosting a game show, what's a chance for a little of me?
Right. Well, you've got your three Tonys. I mean,
that is true. I also am pitching a new show. It's called Defeat Sound Hound.
Oh, good luck to you. Bring that over to GSN.
Yeah.
Your point is, the game show host, Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
Todd Newton, you, me, Frank Nicotero.
Sure.
J.D. Roberto. Like, we all... The journeyman game show, whether we got on the air or did
it was as soon as Dancing with the Stars started. It was soon as all the – like that was sort of the consolation
prize
for coming runner-up on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And then huger and huger people would do it.
So,
if, and I kind of get it because obviously it's a lot easier to sell if you can say you got –
But nobody's – but my argument is nobody's watching for the
–
which is why JSN infuriates me. Nobody's watching because Jaleel White is hosting your show.
Right.
They want to watch the game or not. And quite frankly, you'd be smarter to pay you or me less money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And who know how to run a game show.
And me, much less money.
Oh, yes, I'm going to charge more than you, no doubt about
it.
But we know how to do that.
Exactly.
Pay us less.
Right.
The game is the star.
Right.
Nobody's coming for Urkel. That's no disrespect to him.
No one's coming for Rob Lowe. Like, even though Rob Lowe is handsome and famous, and actually, I mean, not the worst at it.
He's fine.
But it doesn't make a difference. I'm not, like, the game is the game.
Right.
Especially on the floor. It could be anybody.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I don't know. He sometimes he looks right at the camera.
he never misses a chance to say, "Hey, I was in that movie."
Yeah. But with his eyes.
Yeah, that's true.
He is handsome. Yes, Darren.
Well, I remember. I think it started in like the 90s when they would do the primetime show and then the daytime version
the syndicated
of it.
Version.
Had a real
quote-unquote
game show host.
Yeah.
But even that got sort of changed. I remember like when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was Regis, but then they had Meredith Vieira hosting the daytime version. I'm like, she's also pretty fucking famous.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. I wonder if we'll ever again see a thing like The Weakest Link, where it was just someone no one ever seen or heard of before, but it was like a character, basically.
Right. Mm.
And then here we go. Like this.
But
is...
wasn't she huge in England, the woman?
She was, but I don't know if she was huge before that. I don't
no one
know
in America knew who she was.
No, we did not.
That was pretty unusual that they actually brought her over.
Yeah.
I feel like that wouldn't happen now.
No.
But then George Gray took it over.
George Gray,
did
the syndicated version. Yeah. Like you were always saying.
I just recently saw that apparently Colin Jost was on The Weakest Link when he was in college.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw still of that. I didn't
and
see
they
footage.
Like, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I guess on Fallon, like they played a clip of it. And apparently he got some insanely easy thing wrong. And he's like, that doesn't, like when you're wearing a Harvard sweatshirt, that's not going to be. But then he won. Like he actually won the whole thing, but he had shit the bed so bad leading up to winning there wasn't that much money. He he won like $3,000 or something.
Yeah. Who doesn't want $3,000?
Sure. College student?
Yeah.
I'll take it to 58.
You're about to pay for a college student.
You're
use it even more.
Give me three grand. I'll take $3,000. I've got like four fucking root canals in the last 6 weeks.
How about this idea for a game show?
That covers two of them.
Oh, dear.
It's a game show where all the contestants are former game show hosts.
I like it.
Sure.
And so all you guys who are now can't get a job anymore, that's right. You're on the other
and
side.
And the charity we're playing for is ourselves.
That would be a sad... We'd have fun, but what a sad green room.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to all do this?
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
Who's going to host it?
Pat Finn says something. Yeah. They all...
Michael Berger.
I like Mike Berger.
He's great.
I like all these people.
Yeah, I know. They're,
they're all good. They're all
pros. That's
another example. Michael Berger, Pat Finn, they're like guys that made their living for years.
Yep.
And then here come the stars. Yep. Here come the millionaires.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So every time one of your game show host contestants gets knocked out, they become the host of the show until somebody else gets knocked out.
Why would you get promoted? That's what we want to be that.
I understand that. So then you're competing to answer
the, I see what you're saying.
Competing for the host show.
America's next great game show host.
All right, put it together.
Former/next.
Put it together and then have an executive tell us why they'll be better. You know what? Why don't we just use musicians? Hey, did they reveal who the American's going to be on Taskmaster?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Jason Mantzoukas.
I think a couple weeks ago. Choice.
What a great choice.
Great choice.
He's just fucking nuts enough to be great on there.
And it's funny because I don't have a sense of how he'll do in the tasks themselves, but in talking about them and defending himself and making excuses, I think he's going to be absolutely brilliant.
I think he's going to do great with the tasks. Yeah. Too, because I think he's got such a mind that when they tell him
he's
got 30 minutes to come up with how do you get to the roof using just balloons,
right.
He can do it.
That's right. He's very lightweight and mobile.
Yeah, it'll be it's a good choice.
No, I'm so excited. I love that. I came to that show through this show.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, you guys talking about it.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of a super fan.
And then you went over there and you watched them shoot it live.
Yeah, it was such a weird coincidence. We had finally someone on our show chose Taskmaster as one of their topics. And I was like, oh, you have no idea, baby. I'm so ready for this. And somehow we got little Alex Horn as our expert. And this was all on Zoom.
Right.
And as we're talking, I'd already had a plan to go to London for a trip, I think the next week or something. And just in the course of talking about the show and all that, I was like, well, I'm going to be in London. It's like, is the Taskmaster house something I should visit? Like, is that something that's worth going to? It's like, oh, and he said, well, if you're going to be in London, come see a taping of the show. And it happened. They were taping all week that I was there.
Oh, great.
So, it was the season with Nick Mohammed and that crew.
So that was a good crew.
So maybe two years ago or so.
Great.
So they set me up with tickets and I got to sit in the front row of the balcony and then I got to go backstage and say hello and get a photo.
Got to look up at Greg Davies?
No, Greg does not go into the public green room.
Oh!
No. I'm making Taskmaster gossip. No, I did not get to meet Greg, but I went to meet Alex. And I love that when I saw him, he said, like, this is weird, right? This is odd, right? I was like, yeah, it definitely is. Because less than a week ago, we were on Zoom and, it was much weirder for me because I watched you on television for 16 seasons or whatever. But I love that show. I'm on board. I watch the New Zealand version. I watch the Australian version. I'm not so hardcore like a lot of the game show geek people are who like watch the Swedish version. Anything with captions or
you don't like to read.
Subtitle. I'm not into reading.
You can't read. I've been told you cannot read.
Well, it's a little awkward because my fiance got me the Taskmaster book for Christmas.
Oh, she doesn't know that yet?
She does not know.
So this is going to learn it now.
Just put the bookmark in different places so she thinks you're reading it?
Yeah, exactly. Keep moving along. We always eat at Denny's because they have pictures of the food. similar the setup.
Good for you. Smart. And you're getting to the age to use your AARP card and get 10% off.
wait a minute, I think I might be at that age. To be the AARP, isn't it?
I think it's just 50. I think
it's 50.
Is it 50? I thought it was 55.
Well, either way, I got at least 15, 20 years to go, but it's coming up.
I think it's 50.
I think it is 50. It's 50.
Yeah. Wow.
Because we talked about it not long ago. Because it used
they start
to be
sending you that stuff, that's for sure.
Retirement was, you were considered old at 50
right.
20 years ago.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Now 50 is the prime of your life, baby.
Yeah. Mm.
Right? Your health gets better. Everything goes smoother.
Top earning potential.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody, and you know, that's who they want to hire is 50-year-old white guys.
That's it.
So.
Yep. Rightfully so.
Happening.
Well, luckily, our president's getting rid of all DEI hiring. So yeah,
that'll help us.
We got a shot if we want to work for the government.
Man, yep. I've been disengaging from the news, and then I read this stuff about, like, that's what they want you to do. You got to stay plugged in, and you got to stay active.
It's rough, right?
I'm just not ready. I'm still. I don't know, licking my wounds.
I'm with you.
You got to declutter your emotions.
I took MSNBC off the car radio. It's like it's just too. It's too difficult. And also, it's like, I also, part of that also is wondering, like, was I in a bubble, you know, more than I should have been? Right. And so, you know, I'm not ignoring all news, but like, I'm definitely not into the super, you know, stuff that we know is super lefty.
What I've started doing is I'll see something on YouTube where there'll be something, it's MSNBC, and there'll be some story, and like the first 15 seconds is the story, and then the rest is punditry, and I just move away.
The punditry,
it turns out wasn't very valuable.
Yeah.
My issue right now and what I'm wrestling with every night is I love to watch the Seth Meyers monologue. Mm. I like to watch the Jimmy Kimmel monologue and some Daily Show stuff. Mm-hmm. And I realize, like, even though they're on the right side of it all, they agree with us. You can't deny that it's good for business that Trump was reelected for those shows. And they might not want to admit it, but we can look at it and go, hey, more people are going to watch you go, can you believe what this fucking guy did today?
Right.
And I don't know if I want to be a part of that food chain.
Yeah. Right?
You know, like as a viewer, I should probably say, in the same way that you're saying about the news, like, cut yourself off from it because it's not productive.
Right.
Yeah, but you're laughing. They're giving
you
a laugh.
It makes me feel better, and that's the point of entertainment, obviously. Right.
But should you be feeling
better? But should I be? Like, well, that's one question. Yeah. But also, should I be feeding the system?
The algorithm.
The thing that's making this not better.
I think if it makes you happy, yes. I think if you're watching,
you're going Sheryl Crow on this.
I'm going Sheryl Crow. I think if you're MSNBCing it, which I too have taken a break from, it was not making me happy anymore. It was making me angry and also sad. Whereas the monologues, you're kind of still getting the news, and laughing, so it's making you feel good.
You know, it's
funny, that's fair.
I found myself transitioning more from Colbert to Kimmel, and I think I don't know if it has to do with that. Like, I feel like Colbert is more lampooning, and I feel like Jimmy is a lot more like sort of puncturing.
Well, I think Jimmy is just raw.
It's really like personal to him.
Yeah,
in a way that makes me feel good.
Well, it feels brave now.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if it's going to make a damn difference, but I think there is something about, like, this is on public network TV that he's you know, I mean, for as long as it lasts.
Yeah, until he gets shut down by then.
Yeah,
there you go. The other thing that I noticed is that I like to watch Rachel Maddow because she would actually like teach you something.
Yes.
Like, here's this thing, and here's why it matters. It doesn't seem like the percentage. It used to be like 3/4 that, I feel like, and now it's like an eighth.
Yeah,
and so it's harder for me to watch her too. Even though when she does those things, I feel smarter about the things that I might care about.
Right. You know who thinks Rachel Maddow is hilarious? Rachel Maddow. That's why I had to stop watching.
So does Lawrence O'Donnell. Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh, he loves her.
We always talk about the segue between Rachel and Lawrence is just the most awkward dick suck. Rachel, I could listen to you all day long. I'm sorry, I went long, Lawrence. Oh, you could go as long as you want. Just the idea of you talking just makes my day better. And then she'll say something near comedy. Rachel, I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm sure you guys talked about this when I wasn't here, but when they did that MSNBC sketch on SNL a couple weeks ago, maybe not great, but when they called Chris Hayes Rachel Maddow.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah. That was
it just
hysterical.
I'll say this. Sherry Sherman, who I think is wonderful,
love her.
That was a horrible Rachel Maddow impression. It was not.
It's
she
not
was, she wasn't doing an impression.
They gave her the glasses. And
they gave her the glasses.
And a wig.
Which Rachel doesn't wear anymore. It was a bummer because somebody on there can do a Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
And it was a bummer that Because she Rachel has enough ticks.
Yeah, I'm just relieved they didn't bring Dana Carvey in to do it.
Hey guys, I'm still here.
I think they finally said, Dana, yeah, you gotta go home.
Yeah.
It's 2025.
Actually, you know what? I bet he could do a great Rachel Maddow.
Probably. He probably could.
Yeah.
Very talented.
He's got the haircut.
I liked everything about that sketch, except for
somebody else used to do Rachel Maddow, I think.
Somebody did.
It was it Abby Elliott?
Kate McKinnon, maybe?
No.
She might have eventually. Because I remember the impression was because she always go, Rachel Maddow.
Like was it yeah. Chloe Feynman?
I think it was Chloe Feynman.
Well, Chloe was doing...
Can I ask Karen to look things
up? Yeah, sure.
Look it up, Gary, because I think it was... I think Abby Elliott or someone around
what's
in that
name?
Era.
What's his name? Did a good... his Ari Melber was good.
Yeah. As soon as he brought in the hip-hop
it was
lyrics,
really like, good.
Marcella. Was it Marcella?
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good... He's got it... He's a good... Karen sucks.
Aww.
I'm just singing along.
Okay, sure.
Abby Elliott, 4 times.
Come on.
Good pull.
Thank you.
Cecily Strong.
Oh.
I don't know. Hard to picture.
Yeah.
And most recently, Melissa Villaseñor.
She did a very good job.
That's who it was.
That's right.
I just watched her stand-up special, which I found very enjoyable.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's on the YouTube.
I had not seen it.
I saw that in my algorithm, and I was like, oh, I should. And I like a good 7 to 8 minute clip. If I see something that's long, I'm like,
I had a flight.
Yeah.
I needed something to download. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I finished it off after I landed. I think that's a good sign.
That is a great sign.
I had full internet access when I landed. I could have watched anything. I watched the last seven
and you
and
chose
half
to watch that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Congrats.
I think it speaks well of her.
It does. Yeah. It does.
It absolutely
and
does.
And not so well of you.
Mm. Guess what time it is? Sitting cross-legged on the
floor. Watch this. Get ready. Jimmy goes around the hall.
Letter game, starting with the letter game. Hope my guess is better. You start with the letter and end with the name. It's the never not funny letter game.
Here's X. Hey, Garrett, we check in with you. We go around the horn. We get you your answer. What's anything we didn't know about? What's going on, Garrett?
Just still bouncing back.
It's Monday was your first day back.
Yeah, it's a slow, full 100%. I'm like 96, I think.
You seem like your old mubbly self, so.
Yeah.
But if I laugh too hard, then this is the problem with my entire family, that when we laugh, we get into the cough situations, mm-hmm. and it creeps up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Garrett, have you told this in the past? If you have, I apologize, not remembering. Your mom and dad, smokers?
My mom used to be. My dad never did.
Used to be, never did.
Yeah, my mom.
Interesting. Used to. Talk about coming from hillbilly, yet they're not the smoker.
Yeah, my dad has this. They're religious hillbillies, so they don't smoke, don't do drugs, blah, 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 blah. I didn't Adam until I was
yeah, right?
40.
What do you do?
You don't drink, you don't smoke.
What do you do? Yeah.
Goody two shoe.
Mm. Rails.
You did rails?
Cool. Oh, shit. That just reminded me. Sorry, I know this is your segment, but I was at, you know, Patty's, the diner in Toluca Lake.
You're angry at the spelling.
I'm kind of angry at the spelling, kind of angry at the lack of punctuation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't understand.
Oh, right. No.
Or there is, and there shouldn't be. I can't remember why I'm mad, but there's something wrong with it.
No, it's 1D. That's why it's mad.
It's 1T. That's also weird.
Oh, okay. No.
And I did ask someone, apparently that was a last name.
Yeah.
Okay. Patty, but that's or Patty Patties. So maybe that does explain the lack of apostrophe. But anyway, they have a wall of signed headshots so high up that you can barely see them. But you really have to make an effort.
Right,
get over there. So we were waiting for ridiculously. There was a wait for a table, which. That's not the kind of place that this was a few weeks ago. Remember when maybe you guys didn't know this, when David Lynch passed away, they made a shrine for him at Bob's Big Boy because he used to go there every day, apparently, at 2:30 to have a coffee.
Why didn't we know that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Why didn't you go there to report a celebrity sighting?
I would have gone just to say I saw David Lynch. But anyway, I missed out and now he's gone and I blew it. But anyway, the day that they sort of set that up, there was a huge crowd there to like pay tribute to him. And I think that created an overflow. Patty's, their entire business model is get the overflow from Bob's Big Boy. Right. It's the same fucking restaurant 2 blocks away. So there was a fucking so many people at Patty's that we had to wait. But anyway, I looked up and there was a signed headshot of Tim Allen. And I took a picture of it because I thought this was funny. I think most people will remember, or maybe not, that when Tim Allen was in the 80s, was a very successful stand-up comedian. He was also a pretty well-known cokehead, right?
He did cocaine.
Yeah, he had a problem.
I don't know if that was known at the time, but I think...
I believe it was
we have now learned.
He went to prison. Wasn't that related to the... Was that
yeah, for
to
selling drugs. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
So anyway, Keith, if you would, just read what he wrote to Patty's.
Patty's, I love that coke.
Oh!
Tim Allen.
What?
I think it's supposed to be an A.
Maybe he meant cake.
Oh, cake.
I think it's... No, it is. Because if you compare... I don't want to get all handwriting analysis on you. But if you compare the A in cake to the A in patties and then compare that to the O in love, I think you will see that.
Subconsciously, he accidentally... His addict brain reached into his fingers.
There is also some white powder right around his nose in the photo in the headshot.
Very cokey picture,
by the
honestly.
Way, we talk about who doesn't like cake, right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Oh, I'll tell you, my son.
No, it doesn't like cake.
Anyways, end of.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer.
They're more of a pie place, by the way.
If you look at the case,
I don't even know if they have pies. Mm-hmm. I think he's talking about cocaine.
Ordering cake.
Is that a diner thing?
That's not a diner thing.
No, pie is a diner thing.
Pie is mostly a diner thing. I'm sure you can get cake at Bob's, but
yeah.
I swear to God, they don't have. Maybe they used to have cake. I don't know. Maybe they have both.
If they had cake, I know one guy.
Maybe he meant pancake. Didn't have time to write.
Oh, sure. I'm gonna
get out of here.
They got those cakes down.
I gotta get back to my coke dealer.
All right. Well, Garen, what's your letter? You're trying to match me. The letter is V. It's a drama. What do you got?
Valley of the Dolls.
Valley of the Dolls, written by who, sir?
Good question.
All right.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls is written by
Roger Ebert.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that was my guess was going to be
the original. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the original either. To be honest with you, my big thing was Roger Ebert.
That's what I thought. We would have both been wrong.
Speaking of the YouTube algorithm, I love watching Ebert and Siskel,
the old ones,
mashups.
Oh yeah,
oh, it's so comforting.
What do you mean by mashups?
Well, people like someone has made like Siskel and Ebert review the films of David Lynch, or the it's usually by director.
Oh, okay,
and all
that's
that.
Cool.
So,
that's really cool.
Yeah. You can see what they were like.
Yeah, and boy, was Siskel wrong about a lot of stuff.
He did seem to be more wrong than Ebert. No, yeah, more
especially
often.
On comedies, which I guess is subjective. But you know,
I mean, they both had some misses. Sure, yeah. Like Ebert, I think didn't get a lot of things that maybe later he went back and I was wrong.
And to be fair, he did. Yeah, he would say that.
He would do that.
Yeah, but I think Siskel didn't like Back to the Future or like something that's become
a fucking moron.
Yeah, something like that.
They're critics.
That's why they fought.
They're parasites.
They fought because Ebert was smart and Siskel wasn't. And I think it infuriated Ebert that he was so dumb and had such bad taste.
Oh, I think he was very smart. He's very intellectual.
I'm kidding.
I just love, there are certain part of the culture that like had, I think I was like just at the right time for that audience, and they're both, you know, Chicago based.
Oh yeah, we love it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was must-see TV. Like,
absolutely.
They're on at 6:30. We're at home watching it.
Yeah, and the Muppets were on like right before or right after.
I was a grown up, so I didn't watch that. But I hear what
Chicago.
You're
when you grew up in Chicago, you didn't.
I was not a Muppet guy.
You're not a Muppet.
I like Sesame Street.
And yet,
as
you're
a
married
child.
To Daniel Koenig.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who loved the Muppet?
Yeah.
Now I'm not a Muppet guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me a person. all right, Elliot, we're on a time crunch here.
Oh, okay.
Don't owe me. You said a lot earlier when you're running your fucking mouth on and on. Don't you fucking owe me.
Fine. I do have 10 movies audiences love but Gene Siskel hated, if you want to rattle through those really
how
quickly.
How do we do that? I just tell him we're on a tight squeeze and you want to do a list of 10?
Can Elliot read it? Just split the difference here.
Was Back to the Future one of them?
We're on a tight squeeze. Give me 9. Rattle, go quickly.
Back to the Future is not on this, okay. List.
Go.
This list. Okay, quickly.
These are movies people love, but Ebert didn't.
Siskel.
Siskel hated.
Okay.
Patch Adams.
Oh, he's right about that.
Scarface.
Yay, okay.
Poltergeist?
No.
Really?
Poltergeist is a fine film. It's not the best film, but it's fine.
Well, so far, Patch Adams and Scarface so far, I could argue, aren't
Patch
good.
Patch Adams is
I enjoyed them, but
really?
But they're not good.
Scarface is polarizing. But I don't know anyone who loves Patch Adams.
Yeah, that's weird. Why is he villain on this list?
This might be the movie you're thinking of. Beverly Hills Cop.
No, it wasn't that.
That doesn't
I could see him not liking it.
I could see that.
I could
too.
Argue, yeah. Yeah.
No. Thumb on Louise?
Yeah, come on.
Indiana Jones and Last Crusade?
Oh, that one's great.
No, that's, yeah, it's good.
It's the best one, honestly, to me.
Terminator?
What?
Oh, he's wrong.
The first Terminator?
Ebert loved
first
Terminator.
All right.
Okay.
Friday the 13th. Okay. Okay. Science of the Lambs.
That's insane.
That was the one that, I was watching. Yes, it was films of Jonathan Demme.
That's a wonderful movie.
Yeah. He was in a bad mood.
He hated it.
And then Unforgiven,
which is
what?
That's
movie.
Pretty crazy.
That's another good movie.
Perfect screenplay movie.
All right.
There you go, Elliot.
Okay.
All right. Well, good segment, Elliot.
Thanks.
So you and Irma talked about that list. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you met Irma? Jake?
I did. We had a lovely movie and then went to a movie.
Yeah. What movie did you guys see?
It was The Rocketeer, I believe.
It was The Rocketeer, yeah.
The Rocketeer. Who?
The Rocketeer.
The original Rocketeer.
The original Rocketeer.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. It was fun. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, it's really good. I remember seeing it. Pete Schwab and I saw that together. Yeah. I like that movie.
Yeah.
I like Irma. She's lovely.
Oh, she's a delight.
She's wonderful.
A damn delight is what we say here on the program.
Okay.
And then Elliot leaves and we give our real opinion. None of that is true. A damn delight is what we say even when Elliot's not around.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, of course. What do you got?
So we're doing the movie, right?
Yeah, what do you got? V.
So I have two things circled. Jimmy Pardo.
Hi.
V for Vendetta is what I'm going with, because V
is for Vendetta.
It starts with the V.
It's
the most V movie, right?
I feel like it is.
Well, TV movie-wise, there also is V.
V.
Yeah.
That's the most V TV show.
That probably is.
What do you got, J. Keith Van Stratton?
I was going to say V for Vendetta. Am I allowed to go for the same one?
You are allowed to. Sure. Why not?
Like it sounds like that's not a good choice, though. So maybe I should.
That's my instinct.
If you think that's what he wrote, then it's a great choice.
Yeah, okay. if you think he's acting too much and that it has to be
it. Interesting.
But if you think that.
Double bluff.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with it. V for Vendetta.
Really?
Because I cannot think of a different one.
There's a lot of other V's out there.
There are quite a few.
What are you saying? Go ahead. Finish that thought.
I'll go with Victory. Wasn't that movie with Pele and Sylvester Stallone?
Sure. Yeah. The soccer movie.
Doesn't sound
Stallone.
As likely. I'm going to stick with V for Vendetta.
All right. Matt Belknap.
I was worried this would get taken. I don't think it's that great, but it was my first thought. Victor Victoria.
Oh, interesting.
Is that not a comedy?
I would argue that's a comedy.
It is.
I've never seen it.
I think it's a comedy.
Okay,
well,
then I'm gonna change it up then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will say it definitely won't be this, but...
Victory.
Because I couldn't think of anything else that I liked. I did think of V for Vendetta. I'm going to say a movie that I like that I don't know if you've seen, Jimmy, The Virgin Suicides.
Oh.
I have not seen that movie.
Really,
if I can tell you this, I don't even know what it is.
Then
it's a bad guess.
You're stuck with it now.
I really have nothing. The Vow is some romantic drama that I saw on IMDb. I don't even know what it is.
Give us the fans.
All right, we'll do this.
Quickly. Got it.
All right. number 10, The Vow.
The Vow. That was Matt Belknap saw that on the IMDb. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Number 9, VHS.
Oh, that just came out.
VHS?
No, no, no.
No,
that's older. I'm thinking of Y2K.
And I'm thinking of the...
UHF.
The Weird Al thing, yeah.
Yeah, UHF is weird.
And VHS is a...
VHS is a horror.
That's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? All right.
Yeah.
From a few years ago.
All right. A View to a Kill.
Oh.
James Bond movie.
That's going to be it.
Virtuosity.
No?
No, I'm not a
movie. Oh, Virtuosity is sci-fi.
Okay.
That's about Russell Crowe as an AI that comes to comes out of the computer.
I should have
it's a documentary,
Denzel.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, how about Vertigo?
That's a classic.
Shit. That's really good.
And then Varsity Blues.
Mm-hmm. That's our boy, isn't it? Isn't that the...
Vanderbeek?
Isn't that your boy?
Oh, Oxford Blues is Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Vision Quest.
Is that what it's called?
Oxford Blues, yeah.
Yes. Vision Quest is a good movie. Is it?
No. Very Bad Things.
Yeah.
Oh, we've talked about that.
We have talked about that.
Valkyrie with Tom Cruise,
with Tom
I believe.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And Nazis.
Yep.
And V for Vendetta is number one.
All right, let's take a look. Let's take a look at what Mr. Pardo said.
Is it possible to argue V for Vendetta sci-fi? Or
it was based on a comic book.
Right. That's why.
So I don't think it doesn't make it automatically sci-fi.
Yeah, no, you're right. I've never seen it, actually.
Oh,
all right, here we go.
Okay.
Number 5.
Oh. Mm.
V for Vendetta.
Sorry, Keith.
Number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Vacancy.
Oh.
Huh? I just thought of the best movie. I just thought of the correct answer.
What?
Well, wait. Are we doing? Is it comedies or comedies?
No comedies.
Oh, then never mind.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say Vacation.
Yeah,
that's comedy.
Comedy. Yes.
And maybe that's debatable. this might be, I don't remember, I wrote this down, again, I made this list prior to the restrictions, but I think there's still, Vanishing.
The Vanishing.
The Vanishing.
That is not a horror movie.
Yeah, it might be a thriller.
I think it's a thriller.
Number 2, and I'm going to get pushback on this, but it's not funny, Valley Girl. It is not a comedy.
Now, I think we had this argument well before V.
It's a romantic comedy, I think. It's supposed to be a romantic.
But it's not funny. It's a drama.
Okay.
Well, it's not your number one, so
it's not number one.
Also your game.
And number one, Valkyrie.
Oh.
What?
Wow. So we have no winner.
Great movie, but Tom Cruise.
Oh, I hated it.
Punching Nazis.
I liked that. I thought it was very good.
Are you mad at punching Nazis, Keith?
I mean,
you're the one guy defending Elon Musk right now. We're a week into this.
It was a gesture of love. It was a gesture of love.
My heart.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. The name of the guest is J. Keith Van Stratton. The name of his podcast is Go Fact Yourself.
Right.
I was on a recent episode, which is available for people to listen to.
Absolutely.
I came on. I was the expert for Chris Grace's choice of mm-hmm. Never Not Funny, mm-hmm. Disappointing everybody in the room.
They wanted Garen.
They wanted it to be a different topic. They wanted it to, what was his other options?
Everything Everywhere All at Once The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost.
Well, we knew it was going to be that.
It could be that because it could be a poetry expert.
Right.
Right.
I think I beat, as far as that goes, I think I beat poetry expert as far as, oh good, at least it's not that.
Yeah.
Somebody people like the poetry expert.
I enjoyed the segment, and I think that, you know, we do a lot of movies and TV shows and whatnot, and I think this might have been our first time doing a podcast.
Oh.
But I like the idea of something being like super niche.
Oh,
niche, whatever.
The audience was very welcoming, and I enjoyed myself.
That's all that matters.
I had a great time. I was sitting in the back. It was one of those times I'm sitting in the back enjoying it.
Yep.
And then going, oh wait, I've got to go on stage. I'm not nice here to just to enjoy. So,
and we're recording at least every month at LAist in Pasadena. Our next show is February 6th with the wonderful Phil Rosenthal.
Oh,
the show.
So that's coming up right away.
Coming up right away, February 6th, and Sarah Jones, the lovely performance artist, and
I don't know Sarah Jones.
Oh, she's great. She did a solo show called It's Either Buy, Sell, Date or Date, Buy, Sell.
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah.
I think it's Sell by Date.
Sell by Date.
But the buy is B-U-Y. And I think she won a special the Tony Award for it. Anyway, she's wonderful. And then a whole bunch of other shows at GoFactorPod.com.
Great.
Can I do a plug?
I guess so. Well, we love having you here. You know that? Your family, Garen insists.
Yeah.
another agenda item for the post show discussion. We'll see if that.
Garen, you don't decide who's family.
I don't think there's going to be a post. It's just going to be.
I think he meant it more in the Olive Garden way.
That's fair. When you're here,
I'm going to. I disagree. I believe you are. You are. We love having you here. You are.
I'm incredibly humbled and grateful. And anytime,
we love having you. I mean that sincerely. It's one of those things where I go, let's get Jay Keith, and I will look at the calendar and go, it's too soon. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, I give other people a chance.
Because there was a tragedy recently. It's too soon.
We need to space it out. All right. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening and for subscribing. Don't forget the new perks are on the table. Mm-hmm. Matt will tell you about those in the plugs. We talked about them a little bit on the last episode, but don't forget those are happening. Don't forget my live dates. Come out and see me in the Midwest. There you have it. So that's it. On behalf of the Jay Keith, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jimmy, for having me. Thank you, Matt, Garen, and even
you're welcome.
Oh, okay.
On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, Keith just did it for me, but I'll recap it. That's Garen, that's Elliot, that's Matt, that's Jay Keith, I'm Jimmy. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.